place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Well, happy Wednesday. Baby. Live from the 18th floor of the Dave Ennett Tower.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't know if you heard. Northwestern opening this week and tough morning that you've had. I decided to rename the building.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's start with that. What happened to you on the way to work?
Nothing. Well, it happened before I left my house.
Oh, what happened at the house?
Well, I got my car. I closed the door, grabbed
Nobody
my coffee.
Nobody knows the trouble he's seen.
Got my car, and the message of my car said, a key not detected. Because it's one of those
push button deals.
You have to have the key with you.
Yeah.
So
one of those fancy James Bond cars.
I figured I'd left the key in the house, right? Problem is, the door was locked.
Oh.
My wife is sleeping.
I don't
have my keys.
Do you have your phone?
I have my phone. So I call my wife's cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
She does not answer.
So then maybe she wasn't there.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Okay.
I then call the house phone, and she comes down, lets me in the house. Uh-huh. Can't find the key. Looking everywhere, frantic. Clock is ticking. I have to go and get the spare key.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'm already kind of
stressed
behind
tense.
The eight ball.
Discombobulated.
Yes.
It really screws you up.
It does. I mean, it's amazing how one little thing like that.
We are programmed, you know?
Well, there's a certain synchronicity to the routine in the morning when you get up at this hour, and you don't want it messed with.
No, you don't. And then, for some reason, I don't know if this is a plot by IDOT, but it seemed like every inconsiderate driver in America got in front of me this morning on my way to work.
So when you were trying to make up time, you couldn't make up time because there were idiots on the road.
I wasn't trying
to. By the way, all the people that got in front of you were listening to other stations.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Where's the key?
Well, I got the spare key, and I still never found the key.
Oh.
The key's somewhere in the... It's got to be in the house, though, because I got home yesterday.
Do you think Ozzy took it because he didn't want you to leave today?
I think that's possible. I don't... hope he didn't eat it.
Ozzy took the key.
Did you check your pants?
I did. Yes. I always do.
That was the first question I asked him, too, Mary.
Oh.
Isn't it great when you look for something, and you go back, and you look in the same place you looked like
and
three different times?
Yeah,
and
it's there.
And it shows
always
up.
In my purse.
Yep.
Always.
Oh, first place I looked.
So what happens? Do you have, like, temporary, I don't know, like...
Temporary stupid?
I don't know. That happens to me all the time.
I received a large grant from MIT for my paper on the theory of seat suckage, and that's when you drop something, it falls in the most inconvenient place, and usually under whatever seat you're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be under something.
That's what I'm hoping. But I
did
also
drink last night.
No, a fair question.
Just trying to help.
I have a tendency to lose my wallet, and so my wife bought me. It's called a Tile. It's like a disc that you put in your
So you can identify where your stuff is.
But the battery dies on it
on the Tile.
Yeah,
well,
so then you can't find it. So
it
kind of defeats the purpose.
You should get a chain.
I think so.
Your wallet on a chain.
That would be great. Like a lot of guys do that.
Very stylish.
Yeah.
How we know where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of bad boys do that. You know what I'm saying?
Dave and a gang.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of those crazy North Side gangs.
That could be.
Yeah.
Wallet on a rope.
Anyway, thank you for your concern.
I was concerned. All right, let's do the top six.
We still haven't found it, though.
No, we'll find it later. Well, I'll go to his house and look.
Good. Thanks.
Time now for the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Puerto Rico under the gun, maybe the east coast of Florida as well. Puerto Rico still recovering from a hurricane of 2 years ago. Not exactly getting help from the White House, but some emergency declarations have been made, and Puerto Rico is gearing up for what could be a major flood situation. Not so much wind, but flooding is the big concern, and obviously this will develop over the next several hours to several days. Florida's East Coast not specifically under the threat until the weekend. Next, tens of thousands of cannabis convictions will be automatically expunged under a partnership between a tech nonprofit and Cook County prosecutors, part of an effort of State Attorney Kim Fox, quote, righting the wrongs of the past. Fox said the collaboration with Code for America will help atone for prosecutors' role in an overzealous war on drugs. Anybody feel a distraction going on here from the Jesse Smollett thing?
Oh, absolutely. But I do think that this is a good and worthy cause.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if people are doing a tremendous amount of time in prison for something that's minor, sure. Next, Brazil might, after all, accept the $22 million pledged by leaders at the G7 summit. This is still such a cheap-ass move. It really is.
Well, it's really, you started early today.
Seven countries coming up with a total of $22 million for the fires in the Amazon. I mean, come on. The Amazon rainforest is too important. Mm. And, you know, the instant comparison was for when when Notre Dame burned and almost $1 billion was raised. So, you know, I don't even know how they sent that. Go, anybody got any change? They passed the hat at the G7 and they came up with $22 million. Mm. But anyway, this genius president, Bolsonaro, he should take every dime he can get. 7:40 this morning, Christine Halverson, program director for Save the Amazon Rainforest, will talk with us about the reality of what's going on there. Next, a former Uber engineer was charged with stealing self-driving car technology from Google, his previous employer. Federal prosecutors charged the engineer Anthony Lewandowski, one of Silicon Valley's foremost technologists for self-driving cars, with 33 counts of theft and attempted theft of trade secrets. It's not uncommon for tech companies to sue former employees of firms that they join after they leave, but criminal charges against a senior executive there are unusual. The basic notion here is that Uber has Google's self-driving car technology because this guy switched jobs.
Wonder what it was. What sent him over the edge that he was willing to steal?
I don't know, but it's a good movie.
Yeah. Maybe somebody stole his lunch one too many times.
If I mention I'm not doing this, I am not taking a self-driving car.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Because if it happens, everybody has to do it, or one person will throw off the entire system.
That's me.
No, I'm hoping I'll be the dead one that's going to throw off the
system.
No.
I'm the one that's going to throw off the system.
Well, great. You're going to ruin it for the rest of us that want to take a nap or do our makeup or read a book while we commute to work.
How do you administer tickets to self-driven cars?
Right. Exactly. Who's at fault if you crash?
Yeah, I think everyone will be, it'll be done via magical computer on a grid.
You don't have a car. You don't like driving out in any way, do you?
I love driving, but I don't have a car.
Okay.
But I'd rather like ride
Since you don't have a car, I don't think you get a vote.
Yes, I do.
It's just going to cause severe anxiety with everyone when their car is self-driven.
I looked to my left this morning. This is like, I don't know, an hour and a half ago when I left. And somebody had their car seat up, and it had one of those big bulbous headrests that was kind of tilted forward.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, there's a robot in the car next to me.
Like a
giant blockhead sitting in the car next to me. And I couldn't see the driver.
Maybe they were short.
I wished a lot of the cars on the road this morning were self-driving.
I don't blame you, Dave. They were all out to get you.
Poor Dave.
Next, father from Chatswood in Sydney's North Shore was in disbelief, won $96 million in the Lucky Lottery's mega jackpot lottery drawing on Tuesday. One of Australia's richest ever instant multimillionaires, the office worker won first prize after spending $5.50 on the ticket. He went on a lunch break to decide whether he'll quit his job. He has decided he's quitting. He's out.
Woo!
Yeah. He's up.
My favorite story.
And he's now got to disconnect his phone because he's got relatives calling and asking for money.
He's going to have to move to another country.
You ever look at some of the history of the biggest lottery winners? It's all
bad. It's
really
sad.
It's all bad.
Yeah. But you know what? It wouldn't be that way if I won.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, because you'd buy a whole bunch of self-driverless car situations.
Happily ever
you'd have a dealership.
After.
You'd have a dealership with cars with no drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Next. If you want to keep your tracking dirt in, take your shoes off at home. But if your concern is about microbes, the consensus of experts is relaxed. Considering the benefits of modern-day sanitation, vaccinations, and healthcare, you're probably not going to get sick from your shoes being on. The danger is small to almost unwarranted.
Oh, I can't wait to tell my husband about this.
Overall, experts emphasize that washing your hands with soap and water is the most important health practice. What do you mean? You like to wear shoes in the house?
No, he has house shoes.
Oh, well, that's
house
so
shoes?
He changes when he comes in, like Mr. Rogers.
That's very dapper of him, though. Does he have a sweater and
no,
like a...
No, but they're just... And he always stops at the stairs, because to get in our house, you have to have their little stairs.
That is fantastic that you just outed
him.
If
he's in front of you... He's out of town. Hmm. If he's in front of you, he'll, like, stop to put on his house shoes. I'm like... come on. And they're just another pair of shoes.
Here's a crazy idea. Can't you have some sort of mat situation, like right at the front door where the shoes are placed?
We do. We have the stairs, and their shoes are lined up. My son's shoes are lined up the stairs. His shoes, I have one pair of shoes on the stairs.
Well, I love the fact that your husband has house shoes.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. Like slippers. That's so great. I think everybody should take their shoes off when they go inside their house.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he yells at me all the time.
Culturally, it's like an Asian thing. Like, you have to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, where have your shoes been? They've been outside.
Exactly.
And so they've been outside. You've been walking on stuff that's outside.
Yeah, but
so you go in a house, take them off.
Absolutely.
But the point of the story was that it doesn't matter if it's right.
No, it doesn't matter if it's right.
I'm so excited about this.
It doesn't matter that it's right. It's absolutely right. And it's no germs, and it's not a bad thing at all. I'm just saying, in my head, it's a bad idea.
Who are these experts? It just says experts.
Yeah, I mean, you're like getting on the
train. Where do you think your husband is right now? He's doing the study. He's disappointed in the results.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
it's 6:21. We'll come back in a moment and do whatever else we do on the show. But in the meantime,
that's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
So, Wall Street Journal essay. This is in front of a book that Mattis has coming out. Mattis is the highly regarded first defense secretary in the Trump administration. And he says he resigned in this essay. He resigned when his advice no longer resonated. In other words, when the president stopped listening to his advice. I had time on a cross-country flight to ponder how to encapsulate my view of America's role in the world. On my flight, the flight attendant standard safety briefing, I'm reading this, obviously caught my attention. Put your own mask on first, help others around you. In that moment, those familiar words seemed like a metaphor. To preserve our leadership role, we needed to get our country's act together first, especially if we're to help others. The next day, I was driven to Trump National Golf Club, entered a side door, waited about 20 minutes before I was ushered into a conference room, introduced to the president-elect, the vice president-elect. Mr. Trump led a wide-ranging 40-minute discussion. The tone was amiable. He goes on to discuss what was a fruitful first year and a half, 2 years, even with difficulties, prior to his resignation. And again, he says he resigned when his advice was no longer taken, no longer resonated in his words. He advised others around him, change your leadership style, coach and encourage, don't berate, least of all in public. And he goes on to say that, in very polite terms that you would associate with Jim Mattis, if you have paid attention to Mattis throughout his career, that he is a tough guy, but he doesn't air people out in public, and he doesn't respect those who do. So, I'll get to more of that coming up. And, Steve, I'm guessing you'll have time to take a look at that, too, as the morning progresses.
Yeah, so my question, just, you know, after hearing just a little bit of it, is what does this mean? I mean, is this going to change anything? Are we going to hear some more details about maybe bigger things that happened that he's not willing to talk about? I don't know.
Well, the book has not been excerpted yet, I don't believe. So this is a teaser for the book. And in the book, I'm guessing you'll have a few more. I don't know if you'll have a bombshell or not. I don't know. He doesn't seem like a bombshell type, does he?
Yeah, no. But he was called one of the adults in the room.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He was gone. Now no more adults.
Washington Post reporting this morning, Donald Trump wants a border wall built by Election Day and told aides that were in charge of making those decisions on how to get the wall done that if they break the law, he will pardon them.
Uh-huh.
This is by several Pulitzer Prize-winning reporters in the Washington Post. This is not fake news.
Well, the big hope was that when he did take office, that he would at least have wonderful advisors around him. Those advisors would keep the country on track.
They're gone now.
Yes.
They all went away.
The hope at the time.
The other thing that's resonating this morning is that Deutsche Bank has some form of Donald Trump's tax returns. There was a court ruling yesterday, or a court order that said by 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Deutsche Bank had to say whether or not they had Trump's tax returns. They said, well, we might have some.
Mm-hmm.
And they could skirt around it legally at that point. Basically, stall. Having said that, Deutsche Bank, I would think, is less interested in protecting Donald Trump than they are in their own interest. And there's concern that Deutsche Bank has been laundering money for Russian oligarchs. Russian oligarchs, Steve, if I understand the story correctly, you may have co-signed loans for Donald Trump in the 90s when he had no money.
Yeah, or somehow money laundered money to get to him indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the other things that's out there.
Which is one of the reasons that Trump didn't want his tax returns, not that he put money laundering on his tax returns, but his tax returns or out there, or his explanation for his association and protection of Putin and the Russian government.
I guess he can always tell Deutsche Bank, if you violate the law, I'll pardon you. I'm surprised he hasn't done that yet.
Well, all of this is important because we want to know just how much foreign influence is on our president of the United States.
Yeah, and the fact that Russia continues to F with our election process, that's a technical term.
Back to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Can you handle some good news at 6:38 on a Wednesday? Let's go live now. Jisoo Gyi and her team have been covering the story all morning long. You're very excited this morning because you have news about the guy that got the gator. What's that guy's name?
Frank Robb, Steve. Happy to report.
You got Chance the Snapper?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is breaking news. And by breaking, I mean it broke yesterday.
Okay, good. Well, it broke after 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything that happens after 10 is fresh today.
Okay, great. So just picture the banner that says breaking news as I speak.
Got it.
Frank Robb, the gentleman with the wonderful beard who was from Florida that mm-hmm. caught Chance the Snapper, has a girlfriend.
Well, good for him. But where is she from?
From Chicago.
So he met her here.
Yes, and she is from the Humboldt Park neighborhood. And you know Chance the Snapper was found in the Humboldt Park lagoon.
Was she swimming in the lagoon? Did he find her as well?
No, she was not, but she's from the neighborhood. This alligator brought these two together. And this guy, you know, he was like making the rounds on the town, like going to the Cubs game. And he was pictured at the Cubs game with his new girlfriend.
Does it say how they met?
Not really. I mean, they met in the neighborhood.
This seems like it'd be bad for his business. Because if he's going to start spending a lot of time here, we don't have a lot of alligators. We have the one. And if his job is to get gators, she's going to have to move to Florida.
I mean, things are still fairly new, according to the reporting.
Not living together yet?
No, not yet. But, I mean, he definitely loves...
Have they not seen The Bachelor? We need these things to move along.
But, you know, they did say that, you know, she is from the neighborhood and that's where they met. So,
It's a beautiful story. Someday when they have little gators, it'll be a great story to tell them.
Instead of exchanging roses, do they just exchange live bait? Is that how that works?
And apparently, she has an affection towards snakes as well. So,
She sounds perfect.
Yeah,
sounds
they like did a behind-the-scenes tour of the Shedd Aquarium. All of this from Mitch Dudek's reporting at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Are we positive this is not just a publicity stunt? Because you know that Frank guy. He's always looking for publicity.
No. I mean, this is a man of little words.
Uh-huh.
And for him to show the emotion that he's showing, if you could see this photo.
He's very happy.
The smile. It's showing from underneath that big beard of his. You know, that was a...
Congratulations.
A match made in the swamp.
It's a Frank and who? Who's the girl?
They don't have her name. I don't have her name.
Because if we had her name, you know what we'd be doing.
Her name's got to be Allie.
Frank and Allie?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Allie Gage. Right.
No, let's say it's Allie.
All right. Well, you have your team keep an eye on that all morning long?
Oh, absolutely.
As
we'll
developments
be reporting
break?
Live. Yes, absolutely.
Here's my favorite story of the week. Well, yesterday with Ross, I go to pick up Abigail from preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out, and she'd been crying a little bit.
Is your name on the pickup list?
That's no.
Very important.
It is very important, but she looked at me and told her teacher, "That's my pops."
Oh, and the teacher believed her?
Well, that's the ID. That's all you need. So I'm standing there with Ross, and she'd been crying a little bit, and she talked about how a friend of hers that she met at school, when she cried, gave the teacher a big hug, and that helped. So I thought that was very sweet.
Aww.
And a story that's gone for the last couple of days. It's a great picture. By now, I'm sure you've seen it virally. Two little boys, elementary school boys in Wichita, Kansas, set an example that we all ought to pay attention to. Courtney Moore dropped off her 8-year-old son, Christian, for the first day of school and then watched him divert from his path and he'd go to sit down on the ground with another boy who was crying in the corner. He was consoling the other boy, and then he grabbed his hand and he walked him to the front door. They waited until the bell rang together and then went inside the school. Little Christian's gesture, though, was very kind because that 8-year-old boy, Connor, has autism and was struggling very much. While he was excited about the first day of school, Connor's mom said he just got overwhelmed with all the commotion. Connor decided he wanted to take the bus for his first day, but he got it there a little early. The doors to the school weren't open quite yet. Everyone was waiting outside. It was noisy. There was a lot of chatter, and he gets overwhelmed pretty easily. He's also very emotional. Tears come when he's sad. Tears come when he's happy. She told KAKE-TV that she fears every day that somebody is going to laugh at him because he doesn't speak correctly or because he doesn't sit still or he jumps up and down or he flaps his hands. Connor decided, excuse me, I guess I'm not over the cold. Connor decided to take the bus, and because Connor decided to take the bus, she wasn't there that day, but as Moore's Facebook post made its way around, so I just started crying. The boys clicked immediately. They've been playing since then. He's very excited to have a friend. He said to me, I love him. He found me. He held my hand, and I got happy tears. And if you haven't seen the picture, you got to see the picture.
Oh, the picture is
isn't it great?
Darling. I love it. By the way, Rob's girlfriend's name is Katie Flagg, according to ABC 7.
F-L-A-G-G?
Uh-huh.
Well, we got to find her, don't we?
We do.
All right. This is obviously the public's business now. Viv, your job is to find Katie Flagg and see if she's willing to come on the air. Meanwhile, back here at the Mighty 720, coming up after 7 o'clock. Oh, the president's calling.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll be calling this morning. I did not realize that was scheduled today. Oh, that's exciting.
It's amazing he calls you, you know?
Yeah, especially considering the things I say about him.
Yeah.
Save the Amazon Rainforest Organization's Christine Halverson after 7:30 will be talking about the devastation in the rainforest, what's going on there, and if there's any end in sight. We've got a great MVPP as always. Dean, with your Moron Entertainment. You doing Neighborhood Eats today?
I am.
All right, so what are you featuring?
It is a restaurant called Smack Dab, like smack dab in the middle of here or something.
Okay.
In Rogers Park. It's a great breakfast and brunch spot, and they do a lot of giving back to the community. I think since they've been open, like $30,000 they've given back.
Is that right?
And it's just an independent, small mom-and-pop business.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then what's the Fly Honey Show?
Ooh, it is a variety show / burlesque show.
Okay.
At the Den Theater in Wicker Park. It's celebrating a 10-year anniversary, and it is all about body positivity and welcoming and respecting everyone, no matter where they fall on the, you know, gender identity, sexual identity,
sure,
age, shape, size, color, whatever.
Does that mean, like, if I were on vacation or a fat guy in a Speedo, I'd have to respect him?
Yes,
okay.
Steve, so, as you always do. You like the Speedo. You own like 3 Speedos.
I actually own one because Pat Brady gave it to me.
What?
Yeah. Relax, public.
Have you worn it?
No, of course not. And then Rokan scheduled to appear later as well.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
To let me know. Amazon Rainforest Fire Update. Should I stay or should I go? The raging fires in the rainforest that the public is finally paying attention to. In part, at least in part, caused by farmers setting fire to land so they could burn off parts of the rainforest to make it suitable for farming. And, Jay, as you pointed out yesterday, if it comes down to feeding their family or being worried about the global oxygen output, they're going to pick their family.
Right.
So the idea that it's, you know, some random band of good time arsonists running around doesn't seem to be the case. Now, we also know that there is some specific arson fires being set. We'll take this up in greater detail with Christine Halverson when she's on next hour. But here's a few numbers. According to the World Wildlife Fund, the Amazon covers 6.7 million square kilometers. That's 2.5 million square miles of forest. How about that? Yeah. The rainforest is twice as large as the country of India. So far, the group of seven nations pledging to help Brazil fight the wildfires has donated $22 million. Jair Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, the controversial president of Brazil, reportedly rejected it because he wants French President Emmanuel Macron to apologize to him first for their ongoing feud.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this guy is just batty. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, in some ways, it's comforting to know there's a dope in another country.
or is it, it's just scary. I mean, when you think about conservation and preservation efforts, you have to monetize it. You have to make it worth
it for the people of the country to do?
Well, if the people of Brazil don't understand it by now, then I don't know how you'd educate them on it, because they must. The rest of the world has not been paying attention, but now the rest of the world is waking up to this. It's hard to wrap your head around the science of this.
Right. I think the issue always comes with a very wealthy country and developed country like the Western countries and ourselves, dictating to a country that is not well-to-do and
right.
that is still trying to develop and still trying to develop its agriculture and manufacturing. And you know, they're where we were, you know, decades ago.
Well, with
and we weren't exactly doing a very good job protecting our environment, and we're not even doing it now either.
And with the world watching,
right.
the idea that we're going to go in and colonize Brazil,
right,
is a little goofy.
Oh, absolutely, but there's definitely a gap in terms of resources,
yeah,
education, and
stick-to-itiveness in getting it done.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to make it worth their while. So, which is why there should be a lot more money raised than just the money that you were talking about.
And $22 million is a lot of money in the world.
Right.
You know, it's not a lot of money in the case of this story.
Absolutely.
$2.5 million, that's the number of acres burned in the forest seen. That's just the part that's been seen by ABC News during a flyover this week. Put that in perspective. Those 2.5 million acres is about the size of the state of Connecticut. And 100% of the donations from to the Earth Amazon Forest Fund, the Alliance Amazon Forest Fund, go to protecting the rainforest. We'll give you that website along with the others that are legitimate places to help. Because, you know, you got scammers running around for this,
yeah.
too.
And not only is it the whole thing about it being one of the Earth's lungs, but you think about all the millions of species and the discoveries yet to be made and the research that could come out of the Amazon, still very unexplored. And the indigenous people that live there
yeah.
that really have no say or rights.
The Amazon is home to at least 10% of the Earth's known biodiversity. Its rivers and tributaries contain the largest number of freshwater fish species in the world. Obviously, they too would be suffering from the effect of these fires.
Not exactly the same thing, but I have been lately really struggling with, and this is a problem that, you know, luckily living in America with the privilege to think about these sorts of issues, but with environmental impact of everything that I do, even, you know, I cover food a lot. So just in terms of food waste, restaurant waste, factory farming, like how, you know, how much am I contributing by being a consumer?
How have you changed your behavior?
I've tried to eat less meat. Because everything, all the research that that's coming out is about how that's.
Well, I believe in the world we live in, you have to deal in realism. And the world's not going to stop eating meat.
No, absolutely
not. So therefore,
yeah.
farting cows need to be controlled because cows' emissions.
Right.
Doing the damage that
and
it
it's
does.
Also like the runoffs
right.
from pig farming,
right.
just the way that it's done. I mean, overall, factory farming isn't kind to the animals. It's not, it doesn't produce actually the most high quality and nutritious meat, that
well,
type of situation. But I mean, I think I'm just trying to eat less meat. You know, I toy with the idea of trying to stop eating meat altogether.
Well,
but
that's crazy.
Like I said, it's a privileged discussion. It's a type of, you know, you're lucky to be able to think of things like that. But, you know, when you think about the environment and a plastic packaging, like I try to buy
plastic.
Things.
Listen, plastic is a nightmare problem.
And if you look at these, like a lot of developing parts of the world, their beaches are just completely littered waterways with plastics.
And I just found this out from a friend of mine who's on the verge of getting into the recycling business. Water bottles, almost completely, there's a very few exceptions, are only recyclable once.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think if you recycle a water bottle, well, I'm helping the environment. Well, you are for that first cycle. Like if you get a really crinkly water bottle, which is a lot of the cheaper
water. Yeah, they break
water,
all the time, yeah.
They can't be recycled again.
So what do you do with them then?
Yeah.
Well, you still recycle them, but what they end up doing is they end up going into the same landfill that the other garbage goes into.
I know, and then you also get the research that, you know, sometimes recycling is even worse for the environment, the process of recycling. I don't know. I mean, I think you should still recycle, but there's still a lot of research out there. And then a friend of mine is actually a journalist in Indonesia, where all of the computers and electronics, if you think about how many phones you go through, get shipped. and they're broken down. Well, they have to be broken down by hand to get the right parts that actually can be recycled. And that's done by people who are then exposed to horrible chemicals.
And those parts and pieces are buried or burned, and the burning emissions go into the atmosphere.
It's like a Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea. So we need a coalition of countries around the world
Absolutely.
To care about this equally, and not the United States going, yeah, it's fake.
Which is why, you know, the G7 summit is so important. I mean, these are problems that don't have borders. We only have one planet.
It's hard for people to, you know, not just go, I'm too tired. I got my own things to fix right now.
Well,
but here's the thing. The UK this morning, Boris Johnson in the UK is asking the Queen to shut down Parliament, to suspend Parliament for a period of time that would essentially time out the amount that they would be able to debate the end of
Brexit.
It would hasten the Brexit exit. I know that's double speak, but basically it would make sure that the UK is out.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what Boris Johnson wants.
Well, the crazy thing was, from what I remember watching on the news, it was that people didn't even really understand what they were voting for when they voted, and that if there were all these polls that if they were to vote again, it wouldn't pass.
And then you go, well, why not vote again?
Yeah, just vote again.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I don't understand. It's common sense.
I think we ought to redo another vote. It's,
I don't know what you're talking about. And by the way,
with neither one of those two candidates, it's 6:58. We'll come back in a moment and get to the news. I've never dunked an Oreo in milk.
What? That's the best part. But, are you kidding me?
But absolutely not.
You.
How dare you? How
you eat
dare
the cream
you blasphemize
first.
The Oreo?
You eat the cream first, and then that way you dunk it in the milk, so that way it's not so dry. The cookie part is so crumbly and dry.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
Is there anything on the box of Oreos or the package of Oreos that said dunk this in milk? Is there anything that says that's part of it? Like any instructions? Does it say dunk these in milk?
It does now. I mean, they run commercials where it's all about that.
Oreo commercial with the dunking in milk.
It's got to be the right amount of time. It can't be too much, because then it's too soggy and it'll crumble into your
You guys
milk,
are all commies. I want to publicly apologize for my Oreo rant, my outrage.
I talked
to some people yesterday. Turns out I'm wrong.
What?
Yeah, everybody dunks in milk but me.
Dave, does Steve Cochran often admit that he is wrong?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yes.
Well, very, see?
Yeah, he does.
That shows what a good person you are.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you're willing to admit that.
But it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. You know what? This is like, this is the cookie equivalent of the driverless car.
Can we please?
I am not going to dunk an Oreo in milk.
Listen, can we please get some milk and an Oreo so that Steve can try this? It's really good.
And it feels like the apology would be that much more sincere if you actually dunk one of these.
Thank you, Steve Grzanich. Yes.
All right, how about this?
Good point indeed.
I will try it. I won't adopt it as my Oreo go-to.
It has to be real milk, too, not just, you know, skim milk. Or it's got to be.
No, skim works.
2%.
2% works, too.
Go with the 2 or the 1.
If you try it, will you admit whether you really like it?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, Mayor Emanuel brought in kale smoothies, and I admitted I liked those.
They were great.
Wow.
And gee, he also tried, for the first time in his life on the show, a Slurpee.
Yeah, I never had a Slurpee before.
You never had a 7-Eleven Slurpee?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's
a head rush.
Oh, that's great.
Brain freeze.
You know what else I've never had? I've never had a McRib.
Lady loser.
Oh, phone.
Lady loser.
The president's
calling.
Oh, my goodness.
Lady loser.
Has he had a McRib? Has he had a McRib this morning?
Lady loser.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you today, sir?
Tremendous, Cochran. I just beat Mike Pence in the golf simulator. Oh, and we also played a round of virtual golf. How you feeling, Mike?
You won fair and square, my liege. Oh,
don't you know it, Mike?
Mr. President, a lot of talk about the G7. How would you sum up your time there?
You know, frankly, I was not thrilled with that summit. Not thrilled. It was supposed to be a meeting of our allies, but I didn't see Putin, Kim Jong-un, or Scott Baio anywhere. Anywhere. True. Now, I will tell you, in all fairness, I did have a good meeting with President Macaroni of France. He's a great guy. And I got to meet the head of his Secret Service detail. What was his name? Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Yes, something like that.
I think you're watching a little too much TV. But anyway, I heard you say that your Miami golf resort would be a good location for next year's G7, which is going to be held in America. That sounds like a total conflict. I mean, are plans being made to have it there?
No conflicts at all. It's the perfect place to hold a summit. And the G7 nations won't be given any special treatment if they stay at my club in Miami next year.
Right.
Seriously, I'm talking no AAA discount, no continental breakfast, and if they want a water bottle from the minibar, they'll have to pay the same thing as any other guest, $1,000. I won't make a dime, Cochran. Not a dime. The Trump Organization will make millions, but I won't make a dime. That I can tell
you.
Well,
if we move on, sir, do you have any comment on Joe Walsh from here in Chicago running for a primary challenge against you?
You know what? I was confused at first because I thought it was the guy from the Eagles band. But then I found out that's not him. It's that other loser, you know, the one that lost the radio job. Besides, if any Eagle was going to win an election, it would have to be someone a lot more popular, like Don Henley.
Well, you don't know the great music of Joe Walsh. That's the other guy. We never got a chance to ask the other day about Greenland and your interest in buying it from Denmark. Now, where are you on this, even though they said it's not for sale, and are you disappointed about that?
I don't even care about buying Greenland anymore. I found out that it's mostly made of ice. Did you know this?
Yeah, ice.
It's not golf course friendly, Cochran. And get this, Greenland doesn't have a McDonald's anywhere. Not one.
Not one in all of Greenland?
No Mickey D's.
All right, look, there's a report that came out saying you discussed using nuclear weapons to bomb hurricanes, and you talked about it with your Homeland Security chief. What are you saying about this?
Look, there's nothing to be concerned with here. If you've ever seen that amazing documentary featuring Bruce Willis, Armageddon, it says that any natural disaster could be prevented with nukes and an Aerosmith soundtrack. It's true. Look it up.
I didn't know that was a documentary. Now, the Amazon fires are awful. Do you believe they're a threat to the Earth?
Look, I blame this huge Amazon fire on one person and one person only, Jeff Bezos. It was probably started by him so he could collect the insurance money. We're going to tax the hell out of him for this, believe me.
So the 2020 Democrat candidates, one poll has Biden losing his lead, being tied with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, too.
Cochran, Sleepy Joe is so unpopular. Did you know they had to change his Secret Service code name to Beto O'Rourke? True story.
It's so sad. It's not true. One more prediction, Mr. Trump. Your former press secretary, Sean Spicer, on Dancing with the Stars. How are his chances looking?
Okay, I will tell you, Sean Spicer has the experience to do very well on that show. I heard he's already telling people that his two-step is a 12-step.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I told him to just stick with the foxtrot. He won't hurt himself doing the foxtrot because it's the only dance step that's fair and balanced.
Ah, see what you did there?
You can use that one, Cochran. Yeah. Guaranteed huge laughs.
Always appreciate when you write for the show. And thanks for calling, President Trump.
Later, loser.
He's very...
So I didn't know. So
he was pinched for time today.
Armageddon was a documentary.
Apparently, Armageddon was originally aired on PBS as a Frontline documentary.
Oh, I
did not know that. MVPP next.
People, here's the thing. Can I have your attention, please, people?
The most famous,
amazing, just great,
so great,
awesome.
You rock my world.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet.
The MVPP today. Well, we could make it the whole Wood Family Foundation. We could make it our friend Jalen, who we just met. But let's start with Laura Morello, the executive director of the Wood Family Foundation. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Get that microphone in front, if you would, please. Pull that right down to your mouth.
Yeah, I'm a little short.
That's okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are things at the Wood Family Foundation?
They're so good.
And so busy?
So busy. So much going on. Expanding our program to reach more and more kids. We're about to open our third and fourth school site this year.
That's great.
So we're so excited about that. And we have a huge event tomorrow where we're sending off our very first group of eighth grade students who graduated from our program to high school.
Do you know one of them? Would one of them be in studio right now?
Right here next to me. One of our best. We're so excited to have Jalen with us and so excited to see all the work he's going to do in high school and how great he's going to be.
So, Jalen, tell us about you. You're Jalen Davis.
Yes.
And you're 14.
Yes.
Let's see. You're going off to high school. Where are you going to go to school?
Mason College Prep.
And what do you want to do?
I want to be a CEO of a company.
You want to run a company?
Yes.
You know, with your chill attitude, you running a company, that would probably work out really well. Any particular business you're interested in?
I like cars.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite car?
Hellcat.
What's a Hellcat? I don't even know what that is.
It's a Dodge make it. It's like a
Charger? That kind of a look?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow. And Mom, how scared are you? He's 2 years away from getting his permit, and he's talking about a Hellcat. Now, you're going to be a good driver, though.
Yes.
All right. Now, I was talking to you off the air, dude. You're a big dude.
And you're going to be about 6'5", 6'6", probably, we're thinking. You're going to be one scary boss. Good thing you got that good smile of yours, so people won't be too frightened.
No, I'm a gentle giant.
Yes, you are gentle. That's right. What's your favorite part of school?
Math and English.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you write well?
I can get...
Writing's great for you, man.
Yeah.
You like to write. You can do a lot of things.
I like that he's honest, though. You see this? That's important to see.
He admits areas he wants to tune up. Mm-hmm. Gee, say hi to our friend Jalen.
Hi, Jalen. Okay, so what's the best thing that you've gotten out of this program?
All the experiences that they give us. I think my favorite would be camping.
Camping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you actually had to pitch a tent and all of that, everything?
Yes.
Where'd you guys go camping?
We went by the Mississippi River last time. Time before that, we went to Crystal Lake.
And you're a city kid?
Yes.
So you don't get to the burbs, I'm thinking. First time you ever been camping?
Yes.
Do you think one of these people are crazy?
Not really. I've been around them long enough.
Yeah? But you had fun?
Yes.
So you would camp again?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, I spent a lot of time camping as a kid. I'm not sure I'll go again, so we can swap places.
Same. I'm here. I'm up for glamping, though, but nothing beyond that.
You know what glamping
that.
Is?
No.
That's like when there's a Four Seasons hotel near the camp that your family's staying at. Laura, why is this program so important?
Well, so the Pitch-In program works with CPS Elementary Schools to help their 4th to 8th grade students get ready for high school. So Jalen's one of our first students that graduated 8th grade, and we're hoping that some of the skills that, you know, he's learned over the last 5 years from being part of the Pitch-In program will help him now that he's at Mutian College Prep, which we're so, so excited about.
How do you identify kids?
So our program's open to all 3rd graders at the schools that we partner with. We work with the principal to kind of understand what they want for their middle school students, and we present, you know, the pitch-in opportunity to all 3rd graders, and then the principal helps us to kind of identify which students would be really great to be a part of the program and would really benefit from that extra
support. It's interesting to me because there's a big difference between an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
You change a lot in those 3 years.
Yes, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So how do you know what an 8-year-old's going to need at 11?
Well, you know, there's so much research that shows that the first year of high school is so important and so critical to start that for high school year ready to go. So we just think that this age group, 4th grade to 8th grade, because, you know, we start with them then when they get into 4th grade. We feel like that age group is so critical. I mean, you remember middle school. It's kind of a crazy time.
Sure.
And you're developing so much and you're making so many decisions about your life. And so it's a really important time to build these social emotional learning skills and to give students experiences. We just took another group of our students camping in Wisconsin last week, and just watching them have these experiences that are kind of shaping who they're going to become is really incredible.
Now, Jalen, I keep hearing there's so much homework now. Kids barely have time to get it done. Do you have a lot of homework?
Yes.
So a couple hours a night?
Yeah.
And do you have time in school to do it?
If you want to.
Right.
Advisory.
So, you work best at night? Is that why you take it home, or what's your plan?
I like to work, at night, like right after I get to school. My brain's still
fired up.
Yeah.
How cool was it to meet and get to know Carrie Wood?
I'm trying to remember.
Well, we were talking about this, because to be fair, Jalen, at your age, Woody was, we'll go back 14 years, Woody's last hurrah, I mean, he pitched until 2008, 2009, 2010, whatever it was. But Woody was his biggest star about the time Jalen was born.
Yeah. That'd be about right.
Right. Yeah. So the next time you meet Woody, make a huge deal out of it. Like, you're really excited to see him.
Okay. Yeah, they've gotten to know Carrie and Sarah so well, this group of kids, that I don't think that they, you know, realize how beloved Carrie is throughout the city.
But isn't that the coolest thing about him?
It's so amazing.
Sarah is so inspirational, too.
They're just two regular people that just, you know, really help make sure that our program is successful and that we have all the resources that we need. When Carrie and Sarah were with us recently at Lawndale Community Academy, where Jalen went to elementary school, we were shocked to see that Jalen is about Carrie's height at this point.
No kidding.
And we all remember when, you know, Jalen was much smaller as a, you know, coming into 4th grade.
Maybe the next time you see him, you pick him up. The cool thing about Woody, he's the last guy in the world to go, "Do you know who I am?" He just is very, very level about everything. Who's your favorite athlete?
LeBron James.
Never heard of him. Is he big? Kidding you, dude. Kidding you. It's great to meet you. I know you want to go to school, so I appreciate you hanging out with us for a few minutes. Good luck in high school. You nervous at all?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay to be nervous. You should be nervous, but you're excited.
Yes.
All right. You got some friends going to that school, too?
One.
Okay.
You'll make a lot of new friends. High school is where you get to go.
And dude, with your smile,
yeah,
you can get a lot of attention, man. So work hard, but don't forget to have a little fun, too.
Not too much.
No, the fun, the good fun. Not the kind of make your mom worry, but the good fun. Your mom's got enough problems. Just yes. Make sure there's enough food in the house for you, pal.
Felicia's giving you a side eye back there. That's Jalen's mom.
But thank you, Wood Foundation, for everything you're doing. We mentioned the event, too.
Thank you. Yes. We have our annual fundraiser coming up in the middle of September. If you would like more information on that or want to help us just to support more kids like Jalen across the city, you can go to our website. It's www.wffpitchin.org. Lots of opportunities to pitch in with us there.
Wood Family Foundation, wffpitchin.org.
Yes.
All right, cool. Jalen, nice to meet you, man.
Thank you.
Be well.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
A problem of global epic proportions. The fires in the Amazon rainforest and we're lucky to have with us Christine Halverson from Save the Amazon Rainforest, the organization dedicated to providing support and answers on a 365-day basis to folks living there and kind of helping us and the rest of the world as we sleep through all of this. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. Let's start with your website. Where do people go?
Sure. They go to www.rainforestfoundation.org.
And the
rainforestfoundation.org.
Rainforestfoundation.org. And the primary goal for you guys is what?
So we work with local communities and indigenous peoples in the Amazon and Central America to protect their home, which is the rainforest. Because when you look at maps and you see where there's still forest standing, by and large, it's still on indigenous lands. So it's a twin mission of working with local communities, supporting their human rights, and protecting the forest.
So educate us here in regards to indigenous people and people who live there. How much under the gun are they with these fires?
Well, it's a very serious situation. The fires have, have sprung out of control, both in Brazil, primarily in Brazil is what we've been seeing, but also in Bolivia and Paraguay, in parts of Peru. So it's a huge problem. But when you look at maps and you see where the fires are happening, by and large, they're not on indigenous lands. There are some indigenous lands that have been highly affected and are on fire. But when you look, the majority are on state lands or lands that are not controlled by indigenous peoples, that are not protected areas. So we see that protecting indigenous lands and their land rights is really key to preventing from happening. Deforestation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we continue to hear that 20% of the world's oxygen comes from the rainforest. We've heard a lot about the science in the last few days, and the world seems to be waking up to this. But with the political nonsense that's gone on, mostly in Brazil, where the majority of the rainforest is, what is your organization's hope that this is going to get fixed anytime soon?
Well, I think there's a few different fronts that we need to work on. In the frontline defenders, whether that's indigenous people or local people in fire brigades, or that whether that's supporting their rights to their lands and forests and the kind of work that they do on a daily level. And that's long-term and sustainable. I think in Brazil, it's also really important to support groups and that are working on public policy and on, Brazil has a really good laws that are in its constitution from 1988. It has great public policies, but they've been being dismantled, much like in our country. Our environmental legislation is being dismantled. So rebuilding the public policies that keep forests standing and support rights is really key.
It seems that environmentalists have been warning about these Amazon fires for decades, and the stakes just seem even higher than ever. And no one's listening, and it's very frustrating, I think, being in a continent away. We are watching this happen. What can we do, just the average American person? How could we help in this entire process? It just seems like such a huge problem, and there's nothing to be done except wringing our hands.
Right, yeah. I understand that frustration, and I think one thing to do is certainly to get informed and by doing radio shows like this and digging in more is a one important first step. Another is to support organizations or groups that are supporting work on the ground in the Amazon, and there are several of us. Just go online and find a group that's doing this kind of work that resonates with you.
So do you mean sending money then? Do you mean that if we send money to your organization, how much of that money goes directly to helping the Amazon?
2 hours. Once you go on, there's a donate page, and you can choose to donate either directly to an indigenous organization in Brazil or to us, and we'll put it where it's needed most. So there's those different options. We're not the only one group working on this, though. There's many others. So, and then I think also just looking at our own patterns of consumption, and, you know, there's a lot of meat that's exported and a lot of soy that's being grown in the Amazon that then feeds cattle. So looking at our own consumption of meat, of leather, that comes from the Amazon, and there's information that will be that is already available, but there will be more information coming out on that soon as people are responding to what's going on and with the fires in the Amazon.
Well, the immediate concern is to get the fires out as quickly as possible or allow them to burn out in a controlled manner. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I think that the Brazilian government is not doing enough to send. They have highly trained firefighters that need to be sent out. They need to up the investment in sending fire brigades out there. It would be great if the president accepted the offer of the 20 million euros from the EU and from the G7 and use them and put them to good use. There's funding in Brazil that can be used already to attack the fires and to implement the kind of command and control policies and actions that need to be taken to both combat the fires now and prevent them from happening again.
Is there an appropriate higher level of panic in the people of South America?
Certainly in the people of South America, yes, there is. Whether the people at the top of the government level are responding appropriately is another question.
Appreciate your time. Give your website out again.
Sure. It's rainforestfoundation.org.
And any of the organizations you recommend for donations, you've properly vetted, correct?
Yes. There are partners that we've worked with closely for more than 10 years.
All right. I appreciate your time. Good luck.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's Christine Halverson, and it's Save the Amazon Rainforest Organization, and just one of the groups working on trying to do the right thing. As we reported this morning, Steve, and G, the president of Brazil says he doesn't really want to talk about the world helping or France getting involved because he's waiting for an apology from Emmanuel Macron.
That's ridiculous.
That sounds really familiar, doesn't it?
So ridiculous. By the way, July 2019 was the hottest month ever recorded on Earth.
Yeah. On Earth.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah.
If you're a bassoon player and you're on strike, what other skills do you have? I mean, you pretty much got to sit home until somebody calls and says, hey, I really need a bassoonist.
It's an emergency, sir. Come back when it's a catastrophe.
The bassoon, which you know is a classic instrument that makes the sound of a baboon and a striped bass, thus the name bassoon. See if you know what this one is.
Got it.
What is it?
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. It's hard to believe I didn't get into the University of Chicago in the doctoral program on stupid. It's 8:50. Make it 7:52.
8 minutes before 8 o'clock.
You know, in our continuing effort to get to know G, she's told us some wonderful stories off the air about her mom. So where is your mom today?
My mother is in Granite Falls, North Carolina.
That's not a real town.
It is a real town.
Granite Falls, yeah. North Carolina.
Is that anywhere near Frostbite Falls?
It sounds like that. It sounds like a sitcom town.
Falls of Granite.
Sitcom town.
There's nothing there.
Does she live with family, or who does she live with?
She lives with... it's complicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's people in and out of the house all 24 hours a day.
She runs a halfway home.
All right. Now, she's very pro-G. She loves her daughter, and she wants to make sure the world knows how great you are.
She loves me too much, Steve.
How's that?
In fact, not only do I have just the regular baseline of first generation immigrant guilt and wanting to do well for my mother type situation. She loves me too much because she'll say things like, oh, well, you know what? You're the thing that I did, and I did well in this world. And with that, I can't believe I have a wonderful daughter like you. And if it wasn't for you, I just don't think that, you know, I'd have a purpose in this life. And,
wow. No pressure.
Yeah. I mean, basically, my existence is validating her existence.
So if you screw up at all.
I mean, I've already screwed up. I've told you. I have a failure.
But if you screw up anymore, then it's going to be trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, she just thinks, I mean, she'll just say, oh, I'm just so lucky. Oh, this is the worst. I am so lucky, so blessed. God really blessed me with such a wonderful daughter like you. It's enough. I'm like, kill me already.
What's like, wrong with that?
Oh,
she loves you.
Over the top, Mary.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Too much. And it's the burden
now
on
you
my
worry
shoulders.
About her.
Wait, are you an only child?
I'm her only child.
Now you worry about her.
Mm-hmm.
And you worry about her access to social media.
Yes, I do.
Because she's on social media a lot. And she doesn't necessarily know what she's doing.
Absolutely does not. And in fact, we had to shut down her Facebook page because she was the victim of catfishing.
So she had someone who she described as, I think you told me, her friend?
Yeah, she says, oh, I've met wonderful friends. Gee, there's a lot of handsome men. There's this really nice gentleman, and he lives in California, and he's in the military, and he has a big boat, and he showed me pictures of the boat.
Wait, how does she know that? Is she on Datelines?
No, it's just some, they're just messaging her on Facebook.
What?
And friending her on Facebook.
Send her a picture of the boat that he sent to the other women?
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's not even, it's totally a fictitious person, but you know, that's how, and then she's like, but then all of a sudden he asked me for money. So, yeah, I don't think he's my friend.
Okay, so she figured it out. She figured it out on her own.
Oh, God, after she gave him all her personal information, I'm sure.
Now, you also told me at one point that to protect mom, you worry about commenters when she's complimenting you and stuff, right?
Oh, because it's over the top. Because so I took her off of Facebook and I said, okay, I think Instagram is a little
safer. How did you take her off
you.
Of Facebook?
Well, she says, I don't want it anymore. Just shut it down.
Oh, so you did shut it down. Okay.
Well,
so
no, because the
she
minute,
had an agreement.
Yes, because the minute then I probably scolded her a little too much about, mom, you got to be careful, blah, blah, blah. Right. Fine. Then she does the other thing. Just shut the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I can't even
this
have
is why
a
we can't have nice things.
I know. So then, so we closed the Facebook down and I said, well, what about Instagram? And she loves animals and, you know, cooking
stuff.
There's
lots of pictures.
So yeah, so I had to follow all these people and follows me, but then it's over the top her, like, comments. She does not know how to work anything on her iPhone. Does not know how to check her voicemail messages, but the woman knows how to go through every emoji keyboard.
Oh, really?
Yes. So she can find all of these hard-to-find emojis
right?
and then post at least over a dozen emojis with every comment.
So when you edit the comments, does she know you're editing, or can she not find the comments that you're editing?
Well, I don't think she goes back to the photo. So basically, she'll write a paragraph under a photo that I post on Instagram.
And then you go back and delete it or edit it?
First, take a screenshot of it because I feel guilty that I'm deleting it. So then,
Dave, wrap your head around this. She's taking a screenshot of what mom
it's the
wrote.
Guilt, because I don't want to delete. I want to remember everything she's written, but it's so over the top. It's embarrassing.
So if mom passes away, you'll have all these screenshots.
Absolutely.
Even while you deleted everything she ever wrote.
Yes. Don't think that I haven't thought about this. That's exactly why.
I'm confused.
Listen, you guys don't understand.
Is she aware on any level how much work you're putting into this project?
Well, I just told her, I said, mom, maybe like pull back just a little bit on the compliments. Like just, you know, you're my mom. Everybody knows that you're going to think I'm great. But like, you don't need to post on every single picture that I post that you think, oh, it's like this. Oh, my beautiful girl. Oh, you are so beautiful. I cannot believe God gave me such a beautiful girl. And then like 1,000 emojis. Right. And I'm like, no, mom, I'm like not a model here. Like what?
Have you thought about possibly posting a horrific picture of something to see if she'll comment the same way?
You know, I've never thought about that, but I don't want to scare
her.
Sort
of a reverse Instagram psychology move.
Well, she's, you know, easily concerned. She worries a lot, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is all part of getting to know G. Getting to know Julie. Is your mom ever going to come visit?
She is. So probably in September.
Well, that's good because tomorrow, or is it Friday? I think it's Friday. We're going to meet George. That's Viv's boyfriend.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to have to do Get to Know George on Friday's show. So we'll get to know mom, too, when she's
we
here.
We need to do a Get to Know Viv as well. As well, a little bit of Viv and true. George,
there's a lot
right?
of secrets with her, too. She will not talk no matter what you ask her to do. She's just so quiet.
She sounds very excited about both segments.
Does she?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We haven't had a Greek word of the day for a few days.
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, we're going to need a Greek word of the day today. And if we don't do them over and over again, I'll forget them.
So I have an example of something my mother posted.
With mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Because she loves animals, I had her follow Beth Stern, who is Howard Stern's wife.
Kitty cat lady.
Yes, she rescues and fosters all of these kittens, okay? Sure. So I can see what my mother posted because I followed my mom and I followed Beth Stern. So there was an orange kitten on here, and my mother writes, "Oh, so sweet, orange one. Wondering what happened to their mommy. If they only know how lucky they are to be safe now. Thank you so much. You are so beautiful. God bless you forever, Beth Stern. Love you, Howard Stern." And prayer emoji hands, two of them. Paw prints, animal paw prints, a cat emoji, and then three hearts.
Wow.
I think that's adorable.
That's nice. Very sweet. Very sweet.
I like your mom.
Is she
listening?
No, I love her.
She doesn't
know how to work her computer, guys.
Well, here's the thing. I know Howard a little bit. If I call Howard and have Beth call the house every couple of hours, would that be good?
Oh, my gosh. My mom would die.
It's 8 o'clock. We'll come back with the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Then more on entertainment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey, well, kiss me good.
What's that I see on the horizon? It's a moron.
It's another moron.
It's Moron Entertainment, brought to you by the people who bring you Moron Entertainment. Exclusively here on your Moron radio station, Moron 720 WGN.
A service of Moron Industries.
Sponsored by Ravinia. How are you, Dean?
I'm very excited because I just learned the release date for a movie that I've been looking forward to for a very long time, Between Two Ferns, the movie.
Ah, this is Zach Galifianakis and his incredible talk show.
Oh, this is maybe my favorite online talk show where he has some of the biggest stars in the world.
Think cable access.
Yep.
Think two ferns and two weak chairs, bad lighting,
yep,
and terrible, Zach Galifianakis asking terrible questions.
Terrible questions. The movie's going to be on Netflix, and it's going to premiere on September the 20th, and I cannot wait for this.
Now, this is just not interview after interview. This is the backstory of Two Ferns?
Here is the description as it was sent to me. Zach Galifianakis dreamed of becoming a star. But when Will Ferrell discovered his public access TV show, Between Two Ferns, and uploaded it to Funny or Die, Zach became a viral laughingstock. Now Zach and his crew are taking a road trip to complete a series of high-profile celebrity interviews to restore his reputation.
I thought you were going to say track down Will Ferrell and murder him.
That's the sequel.
Yeah, okay. That's Ferns 2. Now it's serious.
So I like everything that I'm hearing about this so far.
Yeah, same here. How about an SNL cast update? You got that coming up, too?
I do.
You got a White House response to Taylor Swift?
As it turns out, they did issue one yesterday.
You got a Jason Momoa story?
That's amazing because I just found some video of him being stuck in an elevator yesterday.
You should talk about that. And Pete Davidson's in the news. And we've got celebrity real estate tonight.
Not just one listing, but three. A celebrity real estate threefer today.
We started a new feature on the show last week and I already forgot about it, so we've been criticized for not continuing it, and that's the Greek word of the day. Oh. Vivian, what was the first word you taught us?
Kalimera.
Kalimera, which means calamari.
Nope.
Hello. Close. Hello, yes. I remember correctly.
No, that's Yasu. Kalimera is good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Kalimera.
Kalimera.
And then Yasuf?
Yasu.
What'd you say?
Yasu.
Joe, wow.
Excuse me while my grandmother flips in her grave a little bit.
Kalimera, good morning. Yasu is how you say hi to someone named Sue. Yasu!
Yasu! Yasu!
Oh, wait, no, Yasu is the rope cowboys would use. I will Yasu you.
It just means
I love
hi.
That.
It means hi. Should Yasu.
Does it matter where we put the accent? So is it Yasu? Yasu?
No, you're supposed to say Yasu. So it's Yasu.
Can I shorten it and make it Ya?
You can just say Ya. Yeah.
That would be grandmother. That would be a short way of saying
it's
grandmother.
Like, yeah. Oh, gotcha.
There you go, Dean.
What is the third word of the day?
Make it a swear word.
No, I can't do it. But
Dean can.
Okay, Dean, I'll text it to you, okay? I want to go with autokinito.
Oh.
Whoa, that's hard.
Yeah, I got to bump it up.
Can you go one syllable at a time?
Autokinito.
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 Autokinito or kinoto?
Autokinito.
Suddenly we're Mr. Miyagi here.
Kyoto.
Autokinito.
Yes, and that means car.
Why can't you just say car? That's way too many syllables for car.
It's not efficient.
I'm going to get in my autokinito and drive around town?
Autokinito. You're not going to get in your autokinito. You'll get into your autokinito.
So if I say, Kalimera, Yasu, I'm getting into my autokinito and I'm driving around town.
I think your kinito is sounding very Japanese. Is that right?
Should have just taught him a swear word.
I know. I regret it.
All right, so that's car.
Arigato.
See, and I think you should pick words that we could build a sentence on. So far we have good morning, hi, and car.
Yes.
So it's like a bad game show.
It's a nice mix.
It's like Greek GPS talking to you.
Yeah.
Good morning, hi, car.
So Dean, autokinito. Please try to say it, Dean.
Come on, Dean.
Dean, try. See if you can do it.
Autokinito.
Oh.
You added an extra syllable in there. It's autokinito.
And I threw in a little.
I like it.
I don't know if you noticed. I gave you a little.
Is the phlegm optional?
No. Phlegm is mandatory, my friend.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you say clown in Greek?
Oh, my gosh. I should know this.
I don't know.
How do you say moron in Greek?
Oh.
Well, don't get too far ahead of yourself.
I probably shouldn't. Oh, my gosh. How do you say clown in Greek? I don't know. I can't remember.
I bet it's probably clowno.
No, it's probably like 10 words.
Because when you're English and you speak English and you don't know the word, all foreigners, you just add an O. Hey, clowno.
Clowno, yeah.
I'll Google it to refresh your memory.
To Google, and the Google, it's just clown.
It's clown?
Right. Clown?
Clown.
Clown. Clown is clown?
Wait, here's the...
Clone.
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 Clown is clone.
Clone.
I've never heard this
I don't
before.
Think so.
Clone.
Are you saying Google's wrong?
I think Google's wrong.
Google's wrong.
Refer with your Greek family and report back to us tomorrow.
I will. Yeah, this is you guys threw me off with this one. Yes. Clown. I don't use clown in my vocabulary.
This is our executive producer, Viv.
Clone.
My Greek family's not talking to me. So.
Clone is clown.
Clone. I think that's how she's saying it. Clone.
You know what I like to do? I like to drive around in my Clone autokinito. That's my clown car.
He likes to drive around.
There's your sentence of the day.
25 other clowns in his autokinito.
Oh my gosh.
I'm clearly over my cold.
Is that you?
That was me.
You're powering through, though. I'm proud of you.
You'll be calling his name. Ho, 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 ho. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
So, Dean, somebody was nice enough to text us a screenshot of their word of the day, one of these word of the day apps.
Oh, yeah.
Today's word of the day is boobery.
Oh, really? What does that mean?
Boobery, the action or fact of doing something foolish, especially making foolish mistakes, foolishness or stupidity.
Hmm.
An instance of this, a foolish act or thing. So I believe more on entertainment today has more boobery than ever before.
We are very boobericious today.
We have a higher percentage of boobery than any other show.
We have some bodacious boobery today.
Ooh.
All boobery all the time.
That alliteration.
Well, many times people looked at Dean and I and said, check out the boobery on those two. By the way,
I looked up the Greek word for moron also, by the way.
And it is?
Seems like that would be a key word for us, and that would be a vlakas.
Vlakas, that is true.
A vlakas.
Yeah, vlakas. Vlakas on entertainment.
That's a great word.
I remember, and I seriously remember my grandmother all the time, like under her breath when something wouldn't go right at a store. Vlakas.
Here's what I'd like to do.
Stupid Vlakas.
Here's what I'd like to do tomorrow or someday soon. I'd like you and Dean to have a complete conversation in Greek where you're talking about everybody on this show.
Okay. Right.
Behind our backs, in front of us.
Great.
Vlakas.
Oh, Vlakas to you, too.
What it would sound like. I'm not really fluent. I just know keywords and all the swear words.
Well, you know, you may, maybe is it easier to speak it or to understand it?
Definitely understand.
Okay.
Because I can pick out a few words. But if you want me to curse you out, I can do that.
You
no
got
problem.
That? Yeah. I took 2 years of Spanish. I know a couple of curse words in Spanish.
Yeah, that's what people learn. In any foreign language, you learn the swear words first.
Because it's more fun.
Think about it. It's very important to know those words.
Sure. I'm trying to learn a bunch of swear words before I go to Prague.
Oh.
Start whipping them out. SNL cast update.
The 45th season is about to begin in a couple of weeks, and they lose one of their major players yesterday. Leslie Jones announces she's leaving the show after 8 years, first as a writer, then as a performer. She's already been in lots of movies, but she wants to do even more movies and TV shows. She wants to do comedy specials, stand-up specials, but also she wants to bring back the old game show Supermarket Sweep. Does anyone remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's on I the game show that. Network.
Yeah. So the way Alec Baldwin is brought back, is he's on the Match Game, right?
Yep.
And who's doing To Tell the Truth? Oh, it's Anthony Anderson.
Yep.
On To Tell the Truth. Well, she wants to bring back Supermarket Sweep. So she's got all those projects pending for her, so she's gone. Kate McKinnon's contract ran out last May. Everyone expected her to bolt because she's been in several movies. She's staying on the show.
That's great.
Yeah, she's decided not to.
She's the best.
She is the best. But I also love Leslie Jones, though, too. I mean, she can barely like get through a skit without cracking up.
If you told me you got to get rid of one of them, I'd throw Leslie Jones under the bus immediately and just say, keep me Kate McKinnon.
Why would you even bring up such a scenario like that?
Well, not literally under the bus, but I love Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, I think she is the strongest on the show.
Oh, absolutely. She's so talented.
Right now, yeah.
Taylor Swift having a fight with the White House.
Taylor Swift, as we talked about yesterday, was...
you're telling me Trump's not a Swiftie?
Apparently not anymore. She, at the Video Music Awards on Monday night, when she won one of her many awards, she sort of called out the president a little bit, because on Taylor Swift's website, she's got a petition for the Equality Act, which has been passed by the House of Representatives, has not been called for a vote. By the Senate, and it's a bill that would guarantee equal rights for everybody, regardless of who you are.
You can see why the Senate's against that. Then.
It's designed for LGBTQ rights, but it's a bill that guarantees everyone equal rights under the law. And Taylor Swift said, "We've got 5 million signatures on the petition on my website." More than enough for the White House to take it under consideration. And then she just looked at her watch and started tapping her watch like, you know, TikTok, what are you waiting for? So yesterday, the White House did issue a statement responding to Taylor Swift. The White House deputy press secretary said that the Trump administration absolutely opposes discrimination of any kind and supports equal treatment for all. However, the House-passed bill in its current form is filled with poison pills that threaten to undermine parental and conscience rights.
Yeah, just take it up and take a vote.
Have you ever had a poison pill, by the way?
Yeah, every time I look at Mitch McConnell.
What an interesting phrase to use in a statement like that.
It's ridiculous. Next.
We're talking about
Jason Momoa.
Well, we could talk about Jason Momoa.
You're talking about Pete Davidson.
Well, I was going to bring him up because we were talking about SNL, and he's going to be back on SNL as well. He was doing a stand-up comedy show in Central Florida, and during the show, people were taking out their phones and taking pictures and recording the show, holding their phones up for long periods of time, obviously recording the show. And he got mad and he told people to, he called out the generation, really. He said, you know, you are a bunch of self-entitled blank, 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 expletive-filled video that's been posted online, telling people, put your phones away. Don't you have any respect? Didn't your parents teach you any respect?
Whoa.
Don't be the, some people are here trying to watch the show, and they don't want to be disturbed by you taking videos. And, you know, it got a little awkward because he was mad and just didn't stop with his rant. And it went from the crowd kind of supporting him, put your phones away, to
get on with it.
Get on with it. Is he, what's going on? It's like he's not stopping. So it was a little weird and a little awkward for the whole thing.
Well, generally, I mean, we got a show coming up. I think it's a week from Saturday. At the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. I don't know if it's sold out yet or not, but if you can get tickets, if you come out, I'll berate you. I'll just wait. Because when people pay to come in to see me, what I like to do is berate them.
Right. Who doesn't like that after you've paid you know, good money to come and see a show to be harassed by the person who's on the stage? Right.
Now, are comedians that way because are they afraid someone's going to steal their joke? Like, what are they worried about when they're getting filmed via phone?
Well, I mean, the rights to the thing to be used again. It's your show.
It's got to be distracting also,
right? Oh, it absolutely is, yeah. Yeah, if you see somebody that's holding up a phone and taping you.
I'll be sure to tape you the whole time when I come and see you.
That'd be great. No problem.
Prepare
whatsoever.
To be berated.
Yeah. That comes on the back of the ticket. Prepare to be berated. All right, Jason Momoa?
When you go see Steve, it's like going to a Gallagher show.
Oh, okay. Raincoat?
Wear an emotional poncho before you come in.
Right. Yeah, we actually don't have a mallet or a watermelon, but everybody should wear a poncho anyway.
Jason Momoa, who played Aquaman, and, you know, it was fantastic. It was in an elevator with a bunch of friends and his German Shepherd dog and some other people. The elevator gets stuck. And now all these people and the dog are stuck in this elevator, wound up being for 2 hours.
Wow.
They had was a bag of peanut M&Ms that they had to share. And then they were, you know, somebody got their phone out and was taking video. And they were discussing who they would eat in the elevator.
Hilarious.
If they didn't get rescued, which one would get eaten first?
I think Jason Momoa is the most meat.
Oh, no, you could never destroy something that beautiful.
Oh.
Khal Drogo? No. Oh, my goodness.
But here's the thing. After 2 hours, they were fighting over M&Ms. What would they have been like after 2 weeks?
Yeah. Right. What about the dog?
The dog, interestingly, just fell asleep. The dog laid on the ground, took a nap while everybody else was like, I'm hungry.
And dogs only eat like twice a day, so the dog would be fine.
Just before we get to celebrity real estate, Casey.
Hi. It sounds like those people are a bunch of babunas.
What's a babunas?
Babunas is basically a dummy.
Ah, you're a bunch of babunas. A bunch of babunas. Works. Thank you, Casey. I appreciate it. All right, you got some real estate for me?
I do not think that the Greek Chamber of Commerce is really going to approve of this segment.
Babunas.
We're promoting every bad word that there could possibly be. But not the swearing ones.
I'm writing a book right now called Entertainment for Babunas.
Are we ready for celebrity real estate?
Oh, yeah, we
do
are.
We have that? Because I've got three honeys of listings today, three big ones. Where should we start? Matthew Perry?
Yeah, do it. Matthew Perry from Friends.
L.A. penthouse, 40th floor, paparazzi-proof penthouse. That's right in the heart of the Century City area. 9,300 square feet, Steve, on this one. And this one is right now, it's listed at $35 million.
That's the weirdest listing because you know L.A. better than most. Why would you want a high-rise in L.A.? Nobody has a high-rise in L.A.
I think for him, it's... you know, the paparazzi issue, the paparazzi and fans.
What if you get a really tall pup?
If you get a really tall one. What is this? This is on the 42nd floor.
It's got to be one of the tallest buildings in L.A.
Yeah, well, apparently it is. It's the top two floors of this condo. And I'm sure it's got, the building rises above 4 acres of private gardens, has a 75-foot-long swimming pool, blah, blah, blah. But $35 million for that.
I'm not going to make an offer until I hear your other listings.
No, here are the other ones also, because Rob Lowe is selling his Georgian colonial mansion that is in Virginia. And this one is 10,000 square feet, vaulted ceilings, handmade crown moldings, custom millwork. He is asking $42.5 for this one, $42.5 million.
All right, and what's the third one?
For this one. This last one is right in West Hollywood, and comparatively speaking, price-wise, it's a bargain, $3.3 million for Adam Lambert's place. He's got a Hollywood Hills home that is 3,700 square feet, surrounded by lush greenery, outdoor living room, fire pit, free-form pool and spa, two balconies.
That sounds really nice.
$3.35 million. That one actually sounds most attractive to me as well.
So here's the thing. In the past, I have offered you cash for all of these, and I've collected a number of homes at very reasonable rates that I don't know what to do with.
You have quite a portfolio.
So I would like to make an offer on Adam Lambert's home with the cash that I have in my wallet, which is $148.
Okay.
Dave, right. You want to add anything?
Yeah, I've got $36 that says deal.
$184. G, got any cash?
I actually do today. Shocking. I have $23.
All right, we're up to $209.
All right. I'm going to text.
$207.
I'm going to text him right now.
And once again, just pick up. As soon as he answers the phone, don't say hello. Say straight cash, homie. And we should be a big winner as well.
That's my code with the people to know I've got a hot deal you have to act on right away.
And you guys can have my Kohl's cash too.
Excellent. Well, Dean, you and I are big baboonists. We're Vlachas and we're Klingons.
I love when you talk Klingon.
That is what it sounded like. All right, thank you, Dean.
The Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
In our continuing effort to try to bring you the, frankly, the most interesting people in town, we brought in our friend again today, Eileen O'Connor, and NoWireHangersEver.com is her blog. When did this start?
2013.
Basically, it was therapy for you?
Yes. I lost my job. It's very sad.
Had a little time on your hands.
I did. And I don't like having time on my hands. So, yes, I went... Lost my job, went to Second City, took some classes, and started the blog.
But you knew you were funny. You just didn't know what to do with it, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So over the course of life, you accumulate stories.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories you told us last time, I need you to repeat. Dave, I don't even know if you were here last time. This is the story of Aunt Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gene, when you hear about Aunt Betsy, I think you're going to have a real sense of No Wire Hangers and what you do every day. Because you're a mom.
Yes.
Of how many?
Four.
Four kids. Age range?
8 to 12.
And the husband is still around?
He's, we'll see, at dinner if he comes back. But yes, he was there this morning.
And one of the things you pointed out before, he's not great at grocery shopping.
No.
Like, he'll go to grocery shop, and mm-hmm. how many calls will you get while he's there?
It depends how many items are on the list. If there's three items, three calls. Six items, six calls. I don't know.
Because he wants to make sure that he's getting the right thing.
Oh, and so it's very annoying.
Not really. He wants to make sure. He, like, can't ask somebody there for help, so he has to call me for help.
And are they complicated things like, I don't know, milk?
Yes. Well, there are different kinds and different colors, so it gets complicated. I get it.
So he's basically like another child.
Yes. When it comes to grocery shopping, yes. Everything else,
I'm already obsessed with Eileen. Like, her style, her hair, her look.
Thanks.
Right.
I know.
This is
the radio.
What do you hear about Aunt Betsy? Aunt Betsy, yes. Your mom's sister.
No, my dad's sister.
I'm sorry, your dad's sister.
Yes.
All right, tell us about Aunt Betsy.
Aunt Betsy just turned 85, and we had a huge party for her.
Oh, happy birthday, Aunt Betsy.
And it was absolutely amazing. We had some, Frank Sinatra impersonators. And
oh, at her request?
No, that was a surprise that her cousins got for her. And she just danced the night away with these guys, and it was hilarious, and she loved every second of it. She's still, like, buzzing from it, and that was the beginning of August.
So. Now, she means well all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of meaning well, she's put you in some awkward situations.
Yes.
Give me a story.
Mm.
And by that story, I mean your grandmother.
The same story you want me to tell?
Yeah.
Okay. So when my grandma died, my Aunt Patsy took her shopping, and we were like, huh, what are we doing here? Were they shopping for dresses? And
so you thought you were shopping for dresses to wear to the service?
Yeah, or something. I don't really know what we thought. We did not think we were there to try on the dress my grandma was going to wear in the casket. We did not think that's why we were
Wait,
there.
So you had to try on the dress that
I did not.
Grandmother was buried
my cousin
in?
Kelly had to try it on, yes.
Now, are you all the same size? Like, she's the same, size as your grandmother?
Yeah, kind of.
Relatively
that doesn't really
speaking.
Matter when you're laying in a box.
I never thought about
you could
that
just
before.
Cut it up. My mom always said, just bury her in a size 2. Cut it up the back, and then she'll eternally
Absolutely.
Be in a size 2. So,
did you watch now as she had your cousin lie down so she'd get a
yes.
sense of how it would
oh,
look?
No one asked her to. She just lied down in it. And she's like, here, this is exactly how it'll look on Grandma.
She wanted to see how the dress would fall
yes.
in the casket.
Right, which is important. That's where she's wearing it to. So
I had never thought
about that. It needs to look good, yeah.
As
she couldn't come
blogs.
Up standing up.
This is the Aunt Batsy blog from NoWireHangers.com. NoWireHangersEver.com.
Yes.
Does Aunt Batsy know you talk about her?
Sometimes.
And how does she feel about that?
Depends what I'm saying, I guess.
You ever get in trouble?
Not really. Honestly, I try to keep it, you know. I try to keep her
respectful.
Yes.
Respectfully kooky.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I get that. Kids back at school?
They are, yeah.
Having fun with the homework?
No. I just wish they would ban it.
You want to ban homework?
Altogether, yes.
And how would we do that?
Well, I just don't understand. They're in school all day. Why do they need to come home and do more?
So
I mean, they have other activities.
School.
Yeah, I just think homework is, yeah.
Yeah, school
redundant,
days.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, school day's long enough it as is. It is.
And it's like you got the rest of your life to work your butt off.
So what do you tell the kids that have to do the homework and they're committed to other things? How do you balance it?
With a lot of tears, normally.
Mostly you and your husband?
Yes, normally at night. Nights are amazing, around 8:30 at my house. But, we just get it done. We're used to it now. I mean, as much as we don't like it, we got a routine. The kids know they have to do it at some point.
But your 8-year-old...
Just totally not the problem.
Your 8-year-old only be what, third grade?
Yes, my youngest is in third grade, yep.
So the third grader, you'd like to get he or she...
That's a boy, yes.
You'd have to get him to bed at a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, 8 and 9.
But he's doing homework till 10 o'clock, even at that age?
Well, let's not get crazy, no. I mean, he has a little homework to do. It's not...
Oh, it's not as bad as the older kids.
No. And the older kids are very self-sufficient, so that's fine. But when you mm-hmm. have kids... So I have a daughter who has dyslexia, and my 8-year-old son is missing part of a chromosome. So they have challenges in school. So when you're working with kids like that, after working all day, you know... It's a struggle.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of
it's
stress.
It's real fun.
Now, Eileen, are you the type of mom who, after the first day of school, you're like a little teary and like, you know, verklempt, you're a little sad? Or are you the kind of mom that's like, woohoo, I'm going to go get my day drink now?
Yes. Well, if it wasn't a half a day, I could get my day drink on, but it's a half day, so.
They're ruining
by
your life.
By time,
so
my buzz kicks in, I got to pick him back up again.
So the second day
second
of school
day
is really
school.
Your favorite
And
night.
Which was a Thursday, too, so it's kind of more of a drinking day.
Perfect. Thirsty Thursday.
Right.
Indeed.
Exactly. You know, it's the start of the weekend.
We had a former producer on this show. I don't want to say who, but it was Ann Johnson's. and she referred to it as mommy juice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the general term?
Yeah. Like the kids always go to drink out of my cup. Wait a second. What's in this? I'm like, oh, no, that's water. You can have that.
You feel like you survived the first day of school?
Oh, yeah. This is, I don't know, my 7th maybe first day of school or something, 7th year in a row.
Why is it your favorite day?
It just, you know, we get to start fresh and everyone gets to be anew and it's very exciting. Everyone, I mean, that's the only day of school. The kids are super excited to get up and go, you know, like
mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
want to see what's going on, who's their teachers, their friends. And the next day they're like, ugh.
You don't have to bribe them to get out of bed.
No. They're like, come on, we got to bring your supplies
and
in.
How long does this excited, fresh, new feeling last?
Till Thursday morning because we started on Wednesday. And then it was like just hell all over again. Like, no, you have to go back.
Listen, so. I was telling Steve yesterday, I am failing as an adult here, and I often think of all the women out there with, you know, kids' schedules, getting the grocery done, getting the cooking
maybe,
done.
Maybe, though, maybe you'd
working,
be able to... Maybe
working full time.
Maybe you'd be able to get toothpaste in your house instead of having three nearly
by the
empty
way,
tubes
I did,
of toothpaste. Maybe you would have that if you had three kids that need to have their teeth brushed. Maybe we just need to get you three kids.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably it. Then, you'd always have toothpaste if you had three kids using it with you. Yeah.
I'm just saying that I salute her and all the moms
Thank
out there.
You. Wow.
Well, we'll Thanks. Leave you with one piece of advice. And that piece of advice is moms don't need donuts on day one, right?
No.
What do moms need?
Edibles.
Yes!
I mean, really? Come on. We made it. We got there. Reward us.
Go to the new website as well, right?
Yes.
And that is nowirehangers.com?
Ever.
I keep dropping the ever. That's right.
It's kind of important.
Nowirehangersever.com. Yes. Nowirehangersever.com. The blogs are all there as well. Great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Funny. Great to see you guys.
You are funny.
Thank you.
I don't say that to many people.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We opened up the homework can of worms. Good morning, Taryn. Do I have the name right? Is it Taryn?
Taryn.
And you are tired of the homework, too.
I think it's a waste of time, and kids are so tired when they get home from school, especially if they play sports. For instance, my daughter got home last night at 8:30 from a game, had to do like 3 hours of homework, and said, okay, I either need to sleep or do homework. What should I do? I said, go to sleep.
It does seem like a self-defeating thing, because you want the kids to be alert and on it at school. You want them to participate in stuff. You can't have it all.
Absolutely. So maybe an hour of homework and that's it. It really seems like they just get through it. They're not really learning because it's painful.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, cool. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I mean, it's usually the parents that end up doing all the homework.
I got to a point, Dave, I don't know about you, but I got to a point where when, you know, because I was a fairly smart kid in school.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff that Ross and Amy were doing when they were in high school, you know.
Was too advanced.
It was too advanced for me, so I cheated off other parents. I went to other houses where the parents were doing the homework for their kids, and I cheated off them.
Did you just, like, pull up a chair at the dining room table?
Yeah. Yeah, so I got to run back and get Ross some answers here on this.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, though. I mean, some of it was just it made my head hurt.
And also, it's still a lie. When am I ever using algebra or geometry? I haven't used it once.
You're in
the
show
last...
business. There's a really good chance you never will.
And then there were projects, like science projects.
Sure.
And social studies projects. And, you know, build a volcano or build... Well, never had to do with that. Nobody ever built
those things are, like, cute. I love those things.
If you're the parents, because then it's like...
I made the worst catapult ever for the science projects for the kids.
How big was it?
Eh, it was, you know, not big at all, but it was easily the worst. It was mocked by other people.
Did they get a passing grade?
I think they got a passing grade.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, don't let your dad help you.
They should be like, this is made by, helped. Yeah, our dad helped us, and he's a radio host.
Yeah. He's not good at this. Back with the news next, 720 WGN.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bunch of texters chiming in before we get to G talking to you about another cool joint you need to know about. JL, as a retired teacher and parent, I'm weary of people complaining I've never used algebra and geometry. Well, guess what? Some people actually do use these skills in their lives, like all three of my kids. Well, we're not insulting your children. We're just pointing out that there are things in school that people don't use. And I'm quite clear on this. I've never used a cosine or anything else related to trigonometry all the years I've been on the radio or on TV.
Well, her children are much smarter than me. And on top of that, I've also never used that woodworking shop that I took.
Oh, that'll come up sometime. Another texter. Good morning. The way I understand it, when you learn how to do math, you're exercising the part of your brain that helps you with critical thinking and making decisions. Texter from the 219. Sure, homework is too much when sports are the priority. Are kids in school to become pro athletes or to get an education? Well, if you could guarantee that a kid could become a pro athlete, it's much better pay.
Not bad.
So they're there to get an education.
Well, you were saying some homework is great, just not like a ton. There's a lot of kids get a ton of homework, yeah. And it's exhausting.
It
and
is.
For the parents. And
I'm still tired from when my kids are in high school. That's been quite a while now.
You're going to have to teach Abigail Grace soon.
630. Too much coddling of the kids today. Homework will build self-discipline. But then there's this, 630. There's no scientific proof to show that giving kids homework improves their knowledge or whatever it is they are trying to prove with all the homework they give. There you go. Thanks, texters. 912. All right, time for Neighborhood Eats. Where'd you go?
I went to Smack-a-Dab in Rogers Park, and known for its delicious, inventive breakfast and brunch fare. And they also now do pizza. delicious homemade pizza, crust, sauce, toppings, everything, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. And I have one of the owners here on the phone with us.
Is that Christine?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone right now and talk to Christine. Christine, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Congrats on your success.
Thank you. It's been a long road, baby.
G?
She started off with a pop-up shop for a couple of years, and the neighborhood basically demanded that you guys stick around, and that's how you ended up with your brick-and-mortar store right on Clark Avenue. How has it been? It's been 2 years, right? Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. It's a little over. April 1st is our two-year anniversary at the Clark shop. It's been amazing. I mean, the place has changed a million times. We really built it from the ground up. You know, we didn't really start with a ton of cash. And so we really just, like, we built the business from the beginning. It was just, like, one thing at a time, adding one thing at a time. So it's always, it's been fun, and it's kind of starting to take off now, and people notice. Like, you drive by every day for 2 years, and then they finally stop. Like, what makes them stop? I don't know. They do at some point.
So, Steve, you know how expensive it is to open a restaurant here in the Chicago area. Christine and her partner, Axel, started off with just $5,000 and a 20-quart mixer, and they've been able to give back a ton to the community. How much have you given back?
I think it's been about a little over $30,000.
Wow.
And that's with some money and then some donations and other stuff like that.
Wow. Very generous.
And tell us how you do it.
Well, we do that in a number of ways. Sometimes it's like a dollar per donut goes to a certain cause. Sometimes it's a particular dish does, you know, $2 off for that thing. And, you know, it just really depends. But it kind of is whatever moves us both as, like, owners and also just, like, what's happening in the community or, like, the larger global community. It's just sort of whatever catches our eye and touches our spirit a little bit, I guess.
You'd love this, Steve, because this week they are actually donating some proceeds to the Amazon rainforest and conservation efforts there. Right, Christine?
Yes.
Okay, so I kind of buried the lead here. Let's talk about these life-changing biscuits. Are you a biscuit fan?
I love biscuits, and I was just looking at some stuff online. Biscuits and a quirky vibe at Smack Dab Chicago.
What makes these biscuits so special? Yeah, tell us about the biscuits.
Well, the biscuits have been the thing that have, the cheesy biscuit has been the thing that has been on the menu since the very first day. So they're just really high quality flour. There's buttermilk, there's butter. There are two different kinds of cheese, three fresh herbs, local honey. And it just is made in a way that's both a beautiful pastry on its own. Like 4.5 years into it, I can say that every time I smell the biscuits being baked, I'm like, ugh. This is why I'm doing this. Like, it keeps you going because it's just so yummy. But also, it's this perfect vehicle for a whole variety of breakfast sandwiches, whether you want it vegetarian, you want it with some meat on it. They're just really, really yummy, and you can taste how clean they are.
I feel like we should probably have some of those delivered immediately to the show.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm on it.
And about these incredible grandma donuts, what makes them a grandma donut?
That's just something I call them because I kid you not, one time I had a customer buy some and then come back and they were actually crying tears. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh, what is wrong? They were like, these are just like my grandma used to make for me.
That's nice.
And I was like, you know, like, how can you, that, what a great compliment, right? So they're kind of smaller. They're traditionally hand cranked one by one in like a 1920s donut hopper. So they're not really like that kind of larger donut, large and in charge donut that you see often now. They're kind of much smaller and a little more old-fashioned in that way.
Well, it's a very nice thing you're doing, and Axel is doing what right now while you're promoting the business?
He's actually cooking on the line right now because it's been a pretty busy day, so he jumped on for a little bit, and that is the life of business owners. You know, you're always jumping in to do something.
Well, you're very consciously, socially conscious, of course, and aware, and that's why you guys are giving so many options for people that are vegan eaters, vegetarian. Everything there is customizable. This is one place where customers can go and say, I'd like for you to hold that and add that, and you guys won't, you know, bat an eyelash, right?
Totally. And we've tried to also create dishes that are also kind of formulated with that in mind. So rather than, you know, sometimes you go and you're like, oh, I can't eat that, but can you put this in there? We've kind of really started to gravitate towards how can things be kind of naturally maybe vegan, veggie, gluten-free already? And if people want to add meat or add a biscuit on the side, that's great. But, like, it's sort of we're concocting dishes. Sort of, like, we're doing that. That's the hard work that we do, you know, to make sure that a
mad scientist
come in and kind of point and shoot. We are got a little bit of mad scientist in there, definitely.
Steve, the other cool thing that they do is they do community dinner twice a month where people eat for free. People come and they pay whatever they can pay. If you can tell us a little bit about that and when that's starting back up.
Yes, so we started that when the furlough happened last year, and we did. It was really amazing. It was so much fun just making these. We have this giant soup pot, and we just made huge, like, cauldrons of soup that were also extremely hot, as you learn, flashing on yourself. But, like, we would do bread and soup, and it would be people would come out. And so we did put it on pause for the last month of the summer because it just is a little bit crazy with school and traveling. So we're probably thinking it's going to come back end of September. So we just do it. It's pay what you can. We do $5 suggested donation, really nothing at all, really no judgment. Just a way for people to come get a meal. You know, you never really know what's going on with people and how much extra money they have around, and I know it can really help. And so it's also just a way for us to connect back into the reason that we do this, which is just, like, loving people, loving food, loving community, and just having, like, a good time and inventing whatever it is that we make that week.
It just seems to me that you and Axel are committed to a life of being poor, but you're definitely going to heaven.
Whoa, damn. Abundance begets abundance, but we'll see about that, you know?
Yeah. I love what you're doing. I couldn't be a bigger fan. I got to come see you. Cool logo, too, with a heart over the A. SmackDabChicago.com. Support these folks. And you're doing dinner now. Did you want to take any sleeping hours away completely?
Well, that definitely killed their social life a little bit. But, like, pizza is a thing, you know, in Chicago. Obviously, people have their opinions. So my partner was really, he's really the baker and the chef expertise. And he was just like, we can do amazing pizza. And again, going back to, like, where can vegan eaters get a good pizza? Where can gluten-free eaters get a good pizza alongside people who just want to eat a quote-unquote, like, normal pizza? I think our pizza is absolutely the bomb. And so it's only been about 8-9 months since we started that program. So we're just getting started with that menu and that program.
6730 North Clark, Chicago. And read about it where?
Oh, Chicago Sun-Times.
This will be your cue.
Yes, this is my cue. I have written an article highlighting Christine Forster and her partner Axel and SmackDab. And there's also a video story as well, so you can watch me talk to her and you can see the food firsthand. And it's on suntimes.com. And just, you know, go under the tab, more, and then click on taste.
And go try the biscuits if you haven't already had them and tell me how great they are. And Christine, listen, it's clear that the food's wonderful, but you guys sound like better people even than you are restaurateurs, so that's a nice thing.
That's an honor. I appreciate that compliment.
All right, thanks for being on. Smack Dab, Rogers Park, right, G?
Yes, sir.
All right. I like her. She's great.
I knew you would like her.
What about Axel? Do we like Axel?
Axel's great, too. You like him, too. Makes a mean pizza.
Yeah, it sounds like it. 921, read all of G's Neighborhood Eats in the Sun-Times. You go to the Sun-Times. Tell me how to get there again.
Well, you look under the big Sun-Times banner. Then you go all the way to the right. Click on the tab more. Scroll down the drop, whatever. And then hit on Eats, Neighborhood Eats, Taste, or the grid.
I just got it up. Just like that.
That was painful.
It was okay.
I'm sorry.
Back to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
926, the Queen. Hell no! What is he asking me now? Boris Johnson asked the Queen to suspend Parliament, and she has. Steve, I don't entirely understand this story. The Queen has suspended Parliament for what reason? Just because Boris Johnson wanted her to?
Yes. Well,
whatever he wants, tell him to stop calling.
That's about it. No, there's a rule that says that for a week before the Queen gives a speech about legislative priorities, Parliament is suspended. And so Boris Johnson has picked a date close to the Brexit date for that. So just about a week or two before the October 31st date for the Brexit thing to be done. And so what this effectively means is that Parliament won't be around for that week or so. So the possibility of anyone in Parliament perhaps thwarting what Johnson wants to do are lessened by this.
And Johnson wants Brexit.
He was one of the
architects.
Even a no deal Brexit, which is what the lawmakers are trying to avoid.
And the concern is the British people wouldn't even be able to get medicine and basic needs of life.
Yeah, and the border situation would be one where they'd still, it would basically be a new country unto itself. There'd be new border restrictions. Travel would be more difficult from the European countries to the United Kingdom.
World's gone nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
World's lost its mind.
And so she's agreed with it this morning.
Steve will be up with the news here in just a couple of minutes. Gee, who are our next guests? Turn your microphone on. Your microphone is a really important part of this.
Yes, I am learning that. From the Fly Honey Show, we have the creator and director, Aaron Kilmurry, and Mary Williamson, the writer of the show. Steve, I talked to you about the show that I saw last weekend.
Well, see, this is part of your gig, because I'm 58 years old. I never mentioned that.
I thought you were 40.
No, I'm 58. I know I look younger. So I go to bed, 9 o'clock at night. If I really want to get crazy, I'll stay up till 9:15. So it's tough for me to go out at night and see all the cool stuff that's going on. So your responsibility is to drive yourself into the ground by going out and seeing the shows that I can't see.
But during the show, I was thinking about you because I thought you would be 1,000% behind the show. You
absolutely
would have loved it.
Body positive?
Sex positivity, body positivity.
It's a
variety show. It's a burlesque show. There's all different kinds of acts, from like singing to monologues. I mean, they can describe it better. But the part that I loved about it is, as a woman in particular, of course, everyone is very harsh on themselves and their physical appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But for a woman in particular,
I'm not so much.
Well, you've got the body of an Adonis. So, but
an older Adonis.
Yes, but
that hasn't
still
taken
got
great
it.
Care of himself,
still
but still there.
Yeah, but women are bombarded with images of perfectly photoshopped women of what a body should look like. So for me to see everyday women of all different shapes, colors, sizes, backgrounds, gender identification.
You're encouraged to be you.
Yes, I felt better about myself when I left.
There you go.
So here we are. So that's why we've got Aaron and Mary here with us.
From the Fly Honey Show, Aaron Kilmurry. When did you guys do this? When did you develop this?
We developed this 10 years ago as a one-night only performance in what was essentially our apartment.
So this success 10 years down the road is a good thing?
Absolutely.
Right, because, who knew you had a gig?
Who knew? We really didn't. We really were much younger and our long game plans were pretty short game at the time.
And I assume it's evolved over time, Mary?
Yeah, for sure. It's literally hundreds of people working with us later. Mm-hmm. 5 weekends instead of one night in a sweaty loft.
You're right. And by the way, that's a band I was in, the Sweaty Loft.
It's still sweaty.
So we understand the body positivity thing for women. Is this a big deal for men?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think all kinds of people get something out of it. And I think men, too. The whole idea of like toxic masculinity is bad for men, too.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of positive repercussions. I don't know.
Good vibes.
Yeah, totally.
I was watching some clips, and everybody seems to be flying their freak flag or their regular flag and everything in between. So you can just go and have a great time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Singing, dancing.
Singing, dancing, comedy. There's a 9-piece band on stage. There is about 40 or 50 mass ensemble members that perform with us as well. So it's a huge spectacle.
How do you choreograph all that? It's got to be like Cirque du Soleil every night.
It really is. Like, I mean, when I say that this is, I know she says she started in her apartment, but this to me has just as many intricate parts and things happening as I would see at a Broadway and Chicago play.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was incredible. Or a musical. It's unbelievable.
It's really a huge production. I mean, I have two associates as a part of my choreography team. Mary is one of the writers with our other cohort named Shannon Metesky. There's our musical director, John Chicora, and he has an associate named Ayanna Woods, and there's just a huge, huge team of people. So it really is as massive of a production as it
How
seems.
Often do you change the show up?
We change it every season. It is a brand new project every single year.
And the one that's up right now is called?
It is also called The Fly Honey Show.
The Fly Honey Show is The Fly Honey Show. Mm-hmm.
It also changes every weekend. So we have featured performers that are different every weekend that we plug into a system that Aaron has developed over the years.
Now, you guys are really good friends. You've been together for a long time. You fight?
We're like siblings.
Right?
Yeah, but like siblings that you like a lot.
But do you have... Well, you can love somebody and want to strangle them. But you've got the choreography, you've got the writing and the creative side. Generally speaking, these two show business ships shouldn't crash together, generally speaking. So what do you fight about?
I honestly think the show is incredibly collaborative with all of the people working on it. The term you use is deep collaboration. So, I'd say it's more of a discussion than a fight.
Does it ever get elevated?
Sure.
Once or twice.
Course. Are there
men?
People.
Are there men involved in the production of the show as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's everybody in the spectrum, also people that are non-identifying, right, mm-hmm. in terms of gender as well. Yes. And every color of the rainbow in terms of the LGBTQ community as well.
For sure.
The thing that's cool about this too is there's very familiar elements too. So I think no matter where you are, I think it's familiar in the sense that there's like a big band, jazz band. There's like a Frank Sinatra cover that.
Yeah, I sing My Way.
Is that right? Cool.
I mean, it's not so out there that it's. Anybody can go and find something they can relate
to. Well, I do need to go because I have a sense that you would go and you would leave and you wouldn't be able to fully explain it. You'd have to say you have to go to see what this is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's the message? What do you want people to leave with?
I think what you said earlier, that the courage to be yourself, like to feel good about yourself. I mean, it's transformative to be a part of the show. And I hope that it is also transformative to be in the room with us, because it's kind of, you know, we say everybody, no matter what your body, and that you're here with us, you're part of the hive with us.
It's a great message. It really is. And do you feel like the two of you feel better about yourselves after doing this show? Is that the self-therapy you're talking about?
I think so. I think it changes year to year. You know, we're different people every year that we put this project up. There's more learning from that previous year that we apply to the making of the next one. And there are, like we've said, hundreds of artists that come through that space. And not all of the performers in the ensemble are professional performers. Some of them are novice performers or former dancers or kind of like a wide spectrum. So I think that it surely affects how we feel. Yeah. But
have you thought about doing a show called Toxic Masculinity where you make fun of toxic masculinity?
That is part of our show.
Yeah, right? We do that anyways.
Yeah. I think if there's anyone listening that knows someone, maybe a young adult, because how old do you have to be to come and see the show?
20. Well,
like if you're with a parent.
There have been 18, some younger people that have come to see the
show. But if you know somebody that's always had trouble fitting in for whatever reason, this is one show that I think they would find themselves and be able to identify with something or a message or someone in the show. I just don't think there's anybody listening out there that wouldn't feel like they belonged if they went and saw your
show. That's a pretty nice pitch.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Show happens where?
It happens at the Den Theater. We run until September 7th. We are on Thursday and Friday and Saturday nights. It starts at 10 o'clock at night.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah. You'll love it.
We'll be done sometime after midnight.
Well, of course, on a Saturday. I can do it. I can pull it off on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And tickets how?
Tickets, you can find tickets at theflyhoneyshow.com.
The Fly Honey Show.
The Fly Honey Show.
Thanks, you guys.
You are an honorary Fly Honey member, I think.
I am.
Steve.
Welcome to the Hive.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. If I'm wiggling around a little bit, it's because the Speedo's riding up on me.
Listen,
that's how it should be.
Right? That's right. Right? No judgment.
Show it off.
No judgment.
Let's go.
TheFlyHoneyShow.com. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And congrats. Fortunate we are to have Rokon in the studio.
Oh, Steve.
Because nobody knows horses like you know horses. In this room.
You're right, in this room.
In this room, yes.
Yeah. I actually think that Mr. Camp might know horses better than I do before it's all said and done. We'll see.
I know a little about horses. The reason I bring it up, of course, is because we just had the story about Arlington and that Churchill. First off, Churchill Downs is the managing partner of Arlington?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? The Duchessois family is a minority owner?
Well, the Duchessois family, Dick Duchessois became a partial owner of Churchill Downs. And then he was the chairman at Churchill Downs for a while.
So he...
The corporation.
So he actually still runs it. The family still runs it.
Yes, yeah. I think they have a minority piece now. There's been a bunch of things that have changed here. And Churchill Downs bought Rivers Casino up in the northwest suburbs.
So is the reason that Churchill Downs says we're not going to try to get a casino at Arlington because they found a different location they'd like to pitch?
No, because they have a casino that's 7-8 miles away, whatever that is, 10
and they don't
away.
Want to cannibalize the business.
I think that's probably I'm speculating here, or as Michael Jordan say, speculating. And I believe that what you can surmise from this is that they don't want to get in their own way there. They would like a sports book, but they also have an OTB to the side of Arlington. You got the major track, and then on the corner there on Euclid, there's a you know, it's a small OTB. They could make that into a sports book. I am very, and again, just as an observer of this, I am very pessimistic that Arlington will continue to be a racetrack after 2021.
I don't know how it can be, because the amount of money it takes to keep a place open at the level that they keep it.
Yeah,
because
it's beautiful.
They do not let that place go down in any way, shape, or form.
No.
The quality there is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very expensive to do that.
Yeah, and it's been a money loser for a while. And one of the things is because the purses are so low, horsemen from around the country don't necessarily want to bring their horses to here to race in a $15,000 race when you can go across the border and race in Indiana for a $40,000 race or $30,000 race, or you can go to New York, or you can go to Kentucky, or you can go to Florida and race the same race under the same conditions and the same against the same sort of horses for $60,000 or $70,000.
But for years, wasn't Arlington's argument that if they could have gambling, if they could have slots then they could boost the purses and get better quality.
That's race. Before Churchill Downs bought the casino that had slots.
If I may interject, I think Roe is onto something. As I'm going through the news release that came out from Churchill Downs earlier this morning, buried deep down into it, is this line: all options will be considered after 2021, including moving the racing license to another community in the Chicagoland area or elsewhere in the state.
It would be a shame. It really would. But you can only lose money for so long before you finally go, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think so. But there was a way to make money there. The problem is that everybody thought that a racino there was going to be great, but they would be competing against the thing that they bought. So it was kind of genius that they bought their competitor along the way. And Churchill Downs has a number of tracks throughout the country. They've got tracks down in South Florida. They got tracks in, obviously in Kentucky and other places. They're a major gambling institution. Everybody is now moving, as gambling is now going to be legal across the country on all sorts of different things. Everybody's moving to this sort of mixed model anyway. So tracks, there may be the future of horse racing. There may be, G wants to shoot herself in the middle of all of this right now. I just want to say that there is, I think maybe in 10 years, there might be 10 tracks in the country that are racing, and everybody will just simulcast them.
So horse racing as a sport continues to slide hard.
Yeah, but the money, what's interesting is that there's so much foreign money in it in the United States. All of Lexington is owned by some sheikh or emir from the Arabian Peninsula. And it is, they spend gazillions down there. And so there is a real, because they race those horses around the world, but they have to raise them in Kentucky because it's like, fine wine, essentially. It's like you don't want to be in Napa Valley. You don't want to not be in Napa Valley. You don't want to be in the...
But the image of your Uncle Irving with his racing form sitting out in the sunshine, about to bet and then waiting an hour to bet again. Where are the new bettors coming in from? Because kids now, they can bet online.
Mm-hmm.
They bet on esports. They can bet on, the major sports.
But you bet online on horse racing primarily now, too. Like, I have an app. I can bet any track around the world at any time.
Well, you got to get help.
I didn't say I did.
Oh.
I just say I can.
You sound too enthusiastic to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was just being quiet because I always get so concerned. We've talked before about regulations and horse welfare and what happens to the horses after they race and, you know.
So well, some of the horses' riders, their backstage riders, are really ridiculous. You know, they really want a lot of things that are unfair.
I have seen, they haven't been in the business when I was a kid. My family was in it, and then I was in it for 15 years as an adult. I have to say that the welfare of the animal, at least in the at the big tracks, mm-hmm. and in the systems that I've been involved in, is always the most important thing.
Well, you got to take care of the vehicle.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, but there's a humanity. You fall in love with these, you know, with these horses. You know,
so it's practical and it's humanity.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want them to, and they're, you know, you get to know them. I mean, they're generally thoroughbreds, not exactly the friendliest of animals.
Would you be if somebody spanked your butt and told you to run around a track?
I am, aren't I? I'm here.
Well, there's that.
I think they're pretty well taken care of. But the other issue is that now there are going to be there's a lot of bloodstock out there, and I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of races left.
You know, you don't know this, G, but Roe and I met a long time ago. He and Ron Majors were partners, and they owned a bunch of horses, and I came in and applied as a jockey.
You did?
Yeah.
How did you do? Did they give you a good wage?
They didn't actually hire me. It didn't go great. They said, we don't have a horse big enough for you, so you're going to need to leave.
That's not what we said.
Is that why you're punishing Roe now?
Well, you know what we said was security.
Yes, that's which is said. Totally different from what I said.
Right.
We'll take a break. Come back in a moment. More with Roe Conn, who's on the show today. What time?
We're on at 3 today.
Oh, you're at 3?
Yes, we're at 3. Sometimes we're not on at 3, but today we're on at 3.
3 o'clock, and also on the stream?
We will be on the stream, and we've got the full John Travolta interview today.
Oh, good. This is John Travolta today. Mm-hmm. And CLTV also in the 3 o'clock hour, like there is right now. Dave, you didn't wave to the CLTV people. Hello, CLTV people.
Hi, CLTV people.
There, Dave.
Yeah. Well, they're all over.
I know, I'm teasing you.
They're watching him from every angle.
I'm teasing.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, so Roe Conn's here. We got this little Deutsche Bank money laundering thing involving the president. Mm-hmm. Are we so
We don't know that we have that yet.
We haven't. Are we so beaten down now that we don't even care?
I think there will be people who just won't care no matter what he does. But I think that there's a cumulative effect to this by the time we get to next November. I actually do believe that, and it's. I think the politics of this are one thing. You only have one vote, right? So you just do what you want to do. You do what you think is responsible. However, I will say this: I cannot imagine how other people in Washington, other people in Congress, Senate will say, "Okay, it's okay. You can have these foreign interests because." And you can also rent out your place to the foreign governments, you know, for whatever it is. It's right. It's beautiful. They call them bungalows.
Yeah. Is there the reason, by the way, the reason that he said that they should come to his Miami, his Doral location, is because it's close to the airport.
Yes. 5 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Couldn't find anything else.
It's a little loud, though. Did anybody mention that? Yeah. Anyway, here's the point is, the only thing I want to know. I don't care anything else. I just want to know why he's got such a man crush on Vlad. And if this is the answer, then I have my answer finally.
Yeah, because we've wondered this since the day he started protecting him.
No American leader has ever sucked up to the dictators in North Korea or to the Russians or Soviets.
Can I do my Roe impression?
What's that?
Oh, I want to. Hey, listen. All I want to know is.
You know,
it's pretty strong.
I could sue you for that impression.
Here's the thing.
It's done with love.
Here's the thing that people need to remember. Trump was broke in the 90s. He had no money. He likes to tell that famous story that he's walking with a young Ivanka, and they walk by a homeless person. You go see that guy. He's got $9 billion more than I do. Because he was $9 billion in debt or whatever the fake number he was using at the time. So he had to get money from somewhere. The Atlantic City thing had gone belly up. Everything else had gone belly up. Nobody would lend him a dime here. He got it from Deutsche Bank. He got it from Russian oligarchs. This is the payback. Any questions?
Is class over? I suppose.
Any questions?
I hope that's true. I mean, I hope I hope it's that simple of an explanation.
We didn't win it on $10,000 pyramid or $50 or $100 or whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Strahan kicked him off. Remember?
Well, he built that. He built that building here, and he's got. And by the way, he's got bungalows down in Miami, 5 minutes from the airport.
Just bungalows.
5 minutes. And the largest. That's the funny thing when you listen to the tape of that. When he talks about it, he's like talking about other places, and all of a sudden he gets right back in mid sentence to the largest ballrooms in all of Florida.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
At Doral Trump International.
Well, then why are we even discussing it? Let's get the G7 there now. Have him come in early. What time's the Travolta interview?
Travolta interview is after 5 o'clock today.
After 5 o'clock tonight. The full Travolta interview, where Ro will take a break and take a walk around and come back.
No, I just will sit there and listen, and because I fell in love with the guy.
Yeah, I know you did.
I got an e-meter. I'm in.
I hope you get a nice place together, the two of you. We're coming back with Bill and Wendy in a second, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. All right, it's a minute after 10, and Bill and Wendy are here, and you're here, and I'm here, and they're here, and we're leaving.
Wow. That's a lot of traffic.
I took NyQuil the last 3 nights.
You can't tell.
It hasn't worn off today.
He is the penultimate professional. He's working through his illness.
Yep. But you know the punchy you get with NyQuil?
Yeah.
All morning long. I mean, literally, I'm not kidding when I say this. You can put two sentences together right now, and you and I have been friends a long time, Bill.
Yeah.
I'll fall asleep before you finish
during the sentences?
Yeah.
What about DayQuil? There is such a thing.
Well, I took it at night.
Take DayQuil at night.
Take DayQuil at night, you'll be up running around like a hamster.
But if you take some DayQuil right now, won't it offset the NyQuil?
It would.
No, it'll really put you to sleep.
Yeah,
it's like puppy uppers and doggy downers.
Right.
He'll just have an addiction at that point.
It's like when I used to take Quaaludes after the Coke. You know, it's just ridiculous.
That was in the 90s.
70s, 80s, who remembers? What are you guys doing today?
There is a radical new law that they're trying out in Washington, D.C. that may come to Chicago. They want to test market it in Washington.
It's a fabulous tease.
Isn't that a great tease?
Yeah, that's coming up sometime in the next couple of hours.
That's right, Steve, NyQuil.
I would not miss a minute of it. I'll be napping in the green room.
All right.
Goodbye. Yeah,